I think I must have developed a bad reputation already. Some call me a slave driver. I don't know if there are other names that I've earned along the way that I'm not aware of. We have before us the printed version of the bill, a B version of the bill. As agreed last week, obviously that version does not show which changes in the bill as introduced have been effected where. Maybe I should ask the state law advisor just to introduce the bill and the process today. How do you propose that we proceed? Because I think you are now in charge of the bill.
Thank you, Chair. We received the proofs this morning. We tried to proofread. We have picked up some of the mistakes from the printers, especially from the index. So what I'll do, firstly I will highlight those mistakes which we have picked up, and thereafter we can proceed to read the bill clause by clause.
And who leads us in that process? My understanding is that the department has completed their task in the sense of effecting amendments to the bill as instructed by the committee, and then forwarded that bill to yourself. And that at this stage you are the body responsible for the bill in terms of its perfection until the final print version is ready for consideration by Parliament. Is that a correct assumption, or how do we proceed? Who leads us?
I do agree with you, Mr. Chair. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm of the view that I must first highlight those mistakes which we have picked up first. Mm-hmm. And thereafter we proceed to read the bill clause by clause.
All right. Can we just establish for members, is that the process that everybody understands to be, or are there any suggestion of a different approach, Ms. Dudley? Sorry?
I'm happy.
All right. The reading part may be quite taxing physically. And I am not sure if the state law advisor may want to delegate that task to legal services, since they have more human capacity.
I'm going to delegate those powers to you.
All right. Perhaps we could request our very capable readers that led us last week. Sorry. To continue to do so, to relieve the state law advisor so that he can point to any technical corrections that may need to happen as we move along. Would that be a fair arrangement? All right. So the Chief Director of Legal Services in the department, your team is delegated to lead the reading process, and the state law advisors will oversee the the finalization of the technical correction. But everybody is at liberty after every clause to raise any commas and full stops that they think that they need to be corrected. And so we comment. Over to you. No, it's legal services. Are you ready to proceed with that?
I thought the state law advisor was saying he was going to read out some of the, point out some of the.
Oh, you want?
No, I've already picked up the mistakes. I just to want to share with the house. If we go to page 3, Chair.
My friend is larger, so we have to exercise
it. Chapter 4. Chapter 4. Page 3. Index. There's chapter 4, the prevention of substance abuse. If we look at clause 8, there's establishment of programs for prevention of substance abuse there. We're supposed to start with programs for prevention of substance abuse, not establishment of.
Such a, oh, we can list the lead establishment of.
Yeah, we must lead establishment.
You know, I think that the best thing is to actually follow the process we're going to follow. Let's go through the bill, and anybody, including the state law advisor, raises any correction at that point that they may want to raise. Otherwise, we're going to go backwards and forth. All right? Is that a fairer approach? Yes, it's a copy of the book. Okay, so let's rather follow that process and let's comment. The state law advisor will raise the correction that is going on. Let's start with page 1. Chief Director, it's over to your team.
Okay. Thank you. The Republic of South Africa Prevention of and Treatment for Substance Abuse Bill, as presented by the Portfolio Committee.
Could you bring the mic closer to you so that you're completely audible?
As presented by the Portfolio Committee on Social Development, National Assembly, the English text is the official text of the bill, Minister of Social Development, Bill 12B of 2008. Page 2, bill, to provide for a comprehensive national response and create mechanisms for the combating of substance abuse through prevention, early intervention, treatment and reintegration programs, to provide for the registration and establishment of treatment centers and halfway houses, to provide for the committal of persons and from to provide for the committal of persons to and from treatment centers, and for their treatment and training in such treatment centers, to provide for the establishment of the Central Drug Authority, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Preamble.
Any corrections with regard to the long title? Yes.
I think we agree that we need to replace training with skills development. We could actually, where it says, I think, where it stopped the lady, it says, let me just, to provide for the committal of persons to and from treatment centers and for their treatment and training. I think it should be their treatment and skills development, because I think either we said we need to replace training with skills development. It's on the third line from the bottom of the long title.
Yeah, that sounds correct to me. All right.
Okay.
Any other corrections on the preamble? All right. Sorry, I mean on the long title. All right, we proceed then to the preamble.
Preamble. Whereas the drug trade has increased globally in intensity and reach, and whereas substance abuse in South Africa has increased rapidly and demands a comprehensive national response, and whereas South Africa continues to combat substance abuse through a wide range of programs in order to reduce supply, demand, and harm caused by substances, and whereas a uniform law to deal with the prevention of and treatment for substance abuse and the harm associated therewith, the rehabilitation of service users in the various institutions and the reintegration of service users in their communities is urgently required. Be it therefore enacted by the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows. Arrangement of Sections, Chapter 1, Definitions and Objects of Act. Clause 1, Definitions. Clause 2, Objects of Act. Chapter 2, Combating of Substance Abuse. Clause 3, Interventions to Combat Substance Abuse. Chapter 3, Strategies and Principles for Demand and Harm Reduction. Clause 4, Guiding Principles for Provision of Services. Clause 5, Intersectoral Strategies for Reducing Demand and Harm Caused by Substance Abuse. Clause 6, Development of and Compliance with Minimum Norms and Standards. Clause 7, Support for Services Delivered by Service Providers. Chapter 4, Prevention of Substance Abuse. Clause 8, Establishment of Programs for Prevention of Substance Abuse. Clause 9, Purpose of Providing...
I think it's correct to have establishment of said, because in your prevention of substance abuse, you start with program. Oh, sorry.
You start with if you check, it's a consequential sort of an amendment. If you look at clause 4, if you look at chapter 4, clause 8.
Yeah. Wait, before you make the intervention, has he finished reading the whole list of contents? Because the way we're doing it is that he reads a portion complete,
okay,
and then we pick up the correction.
He must
read the whole list of contents, and then the correction thereafter. All right.
Thank you. I'll repeat from Chapter 4. Prevention of Substance Abuse. Clause 8, Establishment of Programs for Prevention of Substance Abuse. Clause 9, Purpose of Providing Prevention Programs. Clause 10, Establishment and Purpose of Programs for Early Intervention. Chapter 5, Community-Based Services. Clause 11, Provision of Prevention and Early Intervention Services by Various Stakeholders. Clause 12, Guidelines for Community-Based Services. Clause 13, Establishment and Provision of Community-Based Services. Clause 14, Registration of Community-Based Services. Clause 15, Management Structure of Community-Based Services. Clause 16, Person Providing Community-Based Services. Chapter 6, Center-Based and Outpatient Services. Clause 17, Establishment and Disestablishment of Public Treatment Center. Clause 18, Purpose for which persons are admitted to a treatment center. to treatment centers. Clause 19, registration and cancellation of registration of treatment centers. Clause 20, establishment of private halfway house. Clause 21, registration of private halfway house. Clause 22, compliance with conditions for registration of treatment center and halfway house. Clause 23, monitoring and assessment of treatment center and halfway house. Clause 24, staff of public treatment center and public halfway house. Clause 25, appeals. Clause 26, death, serious injury or abuse of service user or any person affected by substance abuse in treatment center or halfway house. Clause 27, establishment of outpatient services. Clause 28, children abusing substances or affected by substance abuse. Clause 29, management structure of treatment center and halfway house. Chapter 7, aftercare and reintegration services. Clause 30, establishment of aftercare and reintegration services. Clause 31, support groups. Chapter 8, admission, transfer and referral to treatment center. Clause 32, admission of voluntary service user to treatment center. Clause 33, admission of involuntary service user to treatment center. Clause 34, admission and transfer of children. Clause 35, committal of person to treatment center after inquiry. Clause 36, committal of person to treatment center after conviction. Clause 37, court may order inquiry in terms of this act. Clause 38, estimation of age of person. Clause 39, postponement of order. Clause 40, temporary custody of person pending inquiry or removal to treatment center. Clause 41, appeal against and review of certain orders. Clause 42, admission or transfer to treatment center. Clause 43, transfer of involuntary service user from and to treatment center. Clause 44, transfer of involuntary service user from prison, child and youth care center, alternative care or mental health care facility to public treatment center. Clause 45, retransfer from public treatment center to prison, child and youth care center, alternative care or mental health care facility. Clause 46, leave of absence from treatment center. Clause 47, involuntary service user of treatment center may be released on license or discharged. Clause 48, revocation of license. Clause 49, admission to treatment center of persons from territories outside the public. Clause 50, service user to have access to management and vice versa. Chapter 9, disciplinary intervention and appeal procedure. Clause 51, maintenance of discipline in treatment center, halfway house, outpatient services, and community-based treatment facility. Clause 52, method of dealing with absconders from treatment center. Chapter 10, central drug authority and supporting structures. Clause 53, establishment and functions of central drug authority. Clause 54, executive committee. Clause 55, secretariat of central drug authority. Clause 56, powers and duties of central drug authority. Clause 57, establishment of provincial substance abuse forums. Clause 58, functions of provincial substance abuse forums. Clause 59, executive committee of provincial substance abuse forums. Clause 60, establishment of local drug action committees. Clause 61, functions of local drug action committees. Clause 62, compliance with implementation of national drug master plan by various government departments, entities, and stakeholders. Chapter 11, general provisions. Clause 63, offenses and penalties. Clause 64, delegation. Clause 65, regulations. Clause 66, repeal of loss and savings. Clause 67, short title and commencement. That's the index.
All right, thanks. I noticed that from the small, print, it might not show unless in the production of my larger print something may have gone wrong. But there are numbers which are in bold and others which are not. In my version, and maybe is that just my version? All right. I mean, as in clause 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. Some are bolded, some are not bolded. Is it just my version?
Yes.
All right. Okay. All right. It's open for correction on the list of contents. Obviously, we must make sure that the contents accurately reflect the actual wording in the actual heading and subheading in the bill itself. But if in the course of looking through the bill we find that certain headings should read differently, then we'd need to go back to the list of contents and make consequential corrections. All right? Miss Dudley, and then Miss Vivian.
It's accurate, and the changes that I've brought here reflect on this. So far as I can see, I'm happy.
All right. Miss Vivian?
Chairperson, on page 4, it is the index of chapter 9, clause 51. There needs to be a correction made under that last community-based treatment facility. It reads, the maintenance of discipline and treatment centers, comma, halfway house, comma, outpatient services, which is plural, and community-based treatment facility, which I believe, if you look at the content, is supposed to be community-based services and not chapter 9, the index of chapter 9. The clause 51, it should read community-based services but not community-based treatment facility.
All right, Honorable Solo.
Yeah, thank you very much. I don't know this chapter 4, man. It seems you are just deliberately trying to ignore the fact that was raised by the state law advisor. You see, in your subheading, Program for Prevention of Substance Abuse, in your index, you have establishment. I think, I don't know whether it's deliberate, we should leave it as it is. I think
no, the agreement is that it should be corrected.
Oh, thanks.
All right, wait, let's get to Mr. Vivier to complete his, have you completed your input?
Thank you, Chairperson. It's just that correction you will see in the text. It's reading community-based services and not community-based treatment facility. So just that correction.
Yeah, obviously, if when we get to that heading, there is a need to revert to this formulation, we can do it at that point. But for now, let's make sure that this is consistent with what's in the body of the bill.
And we should just also, Chairperson, make sure we talk about the treatment center, halfway house, and then we talk of outpatient services. And then what I'm proposing is community-based service, so maybe that outpatient services should also just be outpatient service. And
not service.
Thank you.
All right. Who's speaking there at the corner? Oh, yes, state law advisor.
Okay, thank you, sir. Another point, in the index, chapter 6, clause 18, we said the purpose, I think it was supposed to be purposes, and also in the same chapter, clause 26 in the index, death, serious injuries or abuse of service users or any persons instead of persons. Purposes and persons. Persons. Yeah, persons, sir.
Because the other one is singular.
Okay.
Service user. Doesn't say service user.
Okay. And also, lastly, Chair, in the index 49, clause 49, chapter 8, I think it is supposed to be admission to treatment center of persons who are not South African citizens or permanent residents, not from persons from territories outside the Republic.
Admission of to treatment center of persons
who are not South African citizens or permanent residents.
Is that how it reads in the body of the... All right. Okay.
And also, lastly, Chair, if you go down after chapter 11, we're supposed to say there, chapter 1, below, we say definitions and objects of act.
Where are you taking us now? We're only still dealing with a list of contents. Yes, Ms. Sampo?
Chapter 11, it says chapter 11, there's no C.
Yes, I thought maybe it's my own version only. mine had to be enlarged manually, so... All right, somebody this side? Yeah? Mr. Kalamudimu?
Chairperson, clause 11 under chapter 5, page 3, clause 11 under chapter 5, is supposed to come under chapter 4, not chapter 5. It needs to be moved upwards. Clause 11.
Sorry, you said chapter?
Chapter 5.
Yeah.
The first page 3, the first clause there, clause 11, needs to be the last clause under chapter 4. It's not the first clause under chapter 5.
Oh. Yeah.
Can I just find out who made your last page? Because I'm ready to go back to my office. I'm not going to be the last page.
I tell you, it's not even an accurate thing because the
I'm
way.
Very sure I have enough time to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and try to do something I haven't.
Yeah. It was sent in PDF, which could not be converted, and my secretary had to do it manually. But she's busy finishing. Even my version is not yet having all the pages yet. All right. You could just contact Dibuo and just get her to bring you a copy. All right. Just contact my secretary and get check how far she is with enlarging my version. All right. Okay. Okay. Now that struggle, we have fought it and it's been very difficult. But anyway, Mr. Kalamudim?
I'm finished, sir.
Are you finished?
I'm finished. The body has been taken.
All right.
No. If that's not in the body of the
case. This clause is in the wrong place. All right. Yeah. But state law advisor, you are responsible for finalizing this bill, and already, just from the first few pages, we have picked up a litany of errors. How does this happen? Some of the errors you yourself picked up, but others you didn't pick up even.
Are you referring to me?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it possible that there might still be more errors even after we've
been? I doubt, Mr. Chair. Although we received the bill this morning, I received the bill this morning.
The version that you sent to them,
to the printer,
guarantee that it was more accurate than them.
Yes, it's actually
the responsibility of printers, or is it errors from your office? How can printers print something different from the one you emailed to them? Because it's not sent manually, is it? They simply have to reproduce what...
Yes, we
even avoided the system of the A-list because we... precisely because we didn't want to create more confusion. Are you saying that what they printed is different from what you send them to print? Can you assure us of that?
No, Chair. They've printed the version we have sent it to them. I'm assuring you, sir, there are a few mistakes within this bill. I read through the bill, but although it is not 100% correct,
But thus far, the errors we've picked up are not few, unless members see things different. I don't see them being few. And I'm worried if, in fact, going forward, the errors are indeed few. Yes, Honorable Solo.
We indeed have a problem. I don't know what is the process once the bill subject is given to the printers, but I think they would print, and then people are supposed to double check that all the changes that are supposed to be made are properly made before the whole thing comes to the committee. And I am of the view that both parties, both the state law advisors and the department, because at the end of the day, the department is responsible in terms of submitting this thing to the committee to ensure that this is the correct document. I'm not certainly sure of what the process is, but you'll bear with me, Chairperson, when I say sometimes the work we are doing here is actually not what we are supposed to be doing. Because these are things that are of administrative nature. Now, I wanted probably to suggest that you see, because now you've got the two units, the legal team from the department, you've got the state law advisors here. Now, both of them are unable to explain to us that how did it happen that they still bring us a document which got some of these errors. These errors, I don't know, they've got a nice English word that they use. But it is clear to me there was no proper checking. There was no communication between the two parties, the department and the state law advisors. Now we're all sitting here doing work that is supposed to be done somewhere instead of proceeding and making progress on this bill. I wanted to make a suggestion, Chair. Can the two parties sit together, make sure that this document produced what is supposed to produce, and if there's any error, it gets corrected. That's my suggestion, with due respect. Because one of the problems I have, I see Mrs. Daddy has got her notes with her and the previous document draft that was given out. Normally, I don't know, these are changes that are happening in Parliament. I don't know what's happening with Parliament itself. As you would remember, Chairperson, would normally sit in our study group, deal with particular sections and check very thoroughly and compare very clearly. Now, we get documents in the meetings. We get documents in the meeting. Now, it tends to confuse us because you can't check. You must move with the flow. If it's faster than you, you've got to rush. You are unable to check. That is the reason, Mr. Stanley, that I did not bring my last draft. Because really, I don't know how am I going to be. I don't have that capacity to sit here and listen and check, you know, and change. I wanted to suggest, Chair, that maybe in future we must get documents before the actual day of the meeting, so that we are able to check, even if it means you assign that responsibility to individuals within your study group, because it helps a lot. By the time you come into the meeting, whatever you speak up, it's checked and it has been thoroughly checked. Thank you very much.
Well, I may just want to indicate that this year is an abnormal year. In the past, we have had the luxury of time to really get documents in advance and really do a proper job at it. In fact, last year, the children's bill shouldn't have happened the way it did if we had been alerted in good time that there were communication problems between the various units involved in the final production of the print version of that bill. Because we would have met, a text would have been given to us in time, we would have met, having had time to go through it at our own time. That kind of time allowed for that. In this instance, we have a situation where we struggled for weeks to really get certain concepts sink in our deliberations and our interactions with the department. And right up to the last minute, on Friday, we were still battling with getting to our minds and the department's minds to meet, until we even assigned Ms. Dudley to go and sit with the draft to redraft one of the chapters. That's how difficult this time around things have been. The consequence of that is that we only finished this bill as the committee at approximately 8 o'clock on Friday. All right. And it is only at that point where we were able to give instructions to the state law advisor to go and produce a print version of the final text of the law for us to consider today. The only time that the printers could be approached to print the bill was after the long holiday, that is after Monday. So the bill was presented to them on yesterday morning to print it. I don't know when that printed version eventually came out. When did it come out from the printers? Pumla, when did the printer's proof return from the printer?
In about September 3rd.
When? Yesterday?
Yesterday, yes. All and right. I forwarded to the department and to Zola, and I tried to send it to Neville Peterson to do what is required for you to have a big document, but Neville was not in the office.
But were the printer's proof circulated to all the members as well? Because if members had had them as soon as we came back, then they would have had an opportunity overnight to go through the bill so that they don't see it for the third time this morning. Is there a particular reason why that wasn't done? Because immediately bills come back from printers, they normally immediately become available to members, especially members of the committee. Yes, Ms. Dudley?
I know, because we all very aware of the shortness of time that everybody's had, so everybody's been operating sort of in great difficulty. Under normal circumstances, I would agree with my colleagues that could we have this go away and come back, that we'll have before us something that has already been corrected. But my difficulty is that this afternoon I'm going to be expected to be in the House, and which means that I won't be here. Now, what I'm doing now is not looking at the corrections that the department's looking at. I'm trying to just follow through here to see, to pick up areas that we've maybe marked that we want to change, just to see if it's in there. So I think if we're all doing the different jobs together just for this time, it would help be helpful just because we're all so short of time. So my suggestion is that whilst I agree this is a problematic process, I would appeal that we go ahead with it and we actually use this morning's time to get as far as we can with this, with some of us focusing in one area and others focusing in another.
Now, we're going to go through the bill word for word from beginning to end, and people are going to propose any correction. That's the process we have started, and we're going to proceed with that, all right? Right up to the end. 35,000 of the text is correct, and the corrected version of this bill is going to have to come back again tomorrow afternoon, and that is the version we're going to vote on, all right? So what we'll be looking at, I think that we need to mark the corrections that we're making, all of us, so that tomorrow we only focus on the corrections that we have made today on this text. All right? So that we don't repeat this exercise tomorrow. All right? Okay. And as Ms. Bakley suggested, we're not going to lament on the water that's gone under the bridge. We've got until next week, Tuesday, to pass this bill. There's a 3-day rule that says that the bill must be before the House 3 working days before we start. So Thursday is our very deadline for us to pass this bill, all right, which is tomorrow. All right. So let's continue where we left. But I think that this point needed to be made because, you see, last year a report was written by the committee section, which sought to exonerate itself and to blame everybody else, including this committee, all right, for what happened to the children's book. All right? There was a lot of inaccuracies that were made about what actually happened, and there were a lot of facts that were not contained in that report about what actually happened, all right? So certain people have the privilege, all right, not to tell the full story when the opportunity arises. All right? So I want these things to be noted. All right? So that in future, people don't go and send reports that says nothing about what they should have done and didn't do, and say things about what other people failed to do that they should have done. All right? We're blamed as a committee for having passed a bill that was not complete, and we gave people instructions to go and write their own thing after we have passed the bill. That's what we're being accused of. All right? So I don't want these things to be happening again this time around. Okay. All right. Yes, Legal Services Department.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just wanted to respond to whether or not there was communication between the two parties, the State Law Advisor and the Legal Services of Social Development. So we had discussion. I sent the bill after I worked on it on Saturday morning. And the State Law Advisor was supposed to do the cleaning part. But I'm saying some of the mistakes would still have appeared here. But others, when you look at the bill, you see that they actually came about as a result of the printing process. For example, on page 4, page 4, line 33. Chapter 11 was spelled correctly when this thing was sent. On page 4, if you look at chapter 11, the heading, it was spelled correctly. If you go to line 40, chapter 1, definition, it was actually correctly placed and correctly spelled. So some of these mistakes took place during the printing process because it wouldn't, if you look even at the bill that you worked on last time, it wasn't like this.
Okay, Ms. Sample, I don't want to prolong this discussion.
You know what I'm going to say?
Yes.
This is exactly what happened with the children's bill.
Yes.
We passed a version which was correct, went to the printer and came back with all sorts of things that weren't there when we originally looked at it. And if it's going to happen again, we're actually wasting our time. And I don't know what is wrong with this parliament and this process. I don't know who deals with the printer, but if what the chief law advisor is saying is that true, then I'm worried as hell if I might say.
And I think we're going to have to report, to write a report to the Speaker as this committee, a separate report from the report that we'll be writing on the bill. Or should we make it part of our own report on the bill? Maybe we should make it part of our report. So, Zola is the scribe of the report. I give everybody, every one of us, if they want to report any specific incident relating to this process, to forward that information to Zola directly. And tomorrow when we pass the bill, the final text, corrected text, we're going to read through that report and agree as to what it is that we are asserting that actually happened in the processing of this bill. Alright. Yeah. Did I see another hand before we proceed? State law advisor.
Thank you, Chair. Without delaying it, I do agree with the Chief Director of Legal Services. For instance, page 4, really I couldn't understand what is going on there at the bottom.
Line 40.
But, you know, my problem, I'm not interacting with printer. I really couldn't understand what is going on because we have been communicating with the Chief Director over this weekend. We were doing these amendments on Sunday, and we received them on Saturday. Everything was correct then, but I do not understand what is going on.
Be careful about the use of words. If you say everything was correct, I don't know if you really mean those words.
Oh, okay.
So nothing misleading. You're not speaking under oath, but... But make sure that you are accurate in what you say. All right? I think that there's been errors from all sides. The only difference is that this time around, we are not allowing a situation where the various teams try to resolve these things on their own without reference to the committee. So that on the day of the debate, we are faced with an embarrassing situation where we are hearing of this thing for the first time. That's what happened with the children's bill, and that's what we're trying to prevent this time around. That's why we're going through the actual print version ourselves. All right? Okay, let's proceed now. Have we corrected everything to match the actual body of the bill in the list of content? Yes, Keller, yes.
Thank you. On page 3, clause 20, it's not the same as in the body of the bill. On page 14, it says establishment of public halfway house. And in the, it says establishment of private halfway house.
Which is the correct version?
Public.
So it's public, not private.
Yes.
Who brought in the private?
And then, I'm saying on page 3, clause 20. It's supposed to be establishment of public halfway house.
Yeah.
And then, Chair, in line with the movement of section or clause 11 up, I think the heading there, I think maybe it's our mistake. The heading should be early intervention, prevention and early intervention, because it covers both prevention and early intervention and not just prevention. I'm talking about the heading of chapter 4 on page 3. If you look at the text, it addresses both prevention and early intervention, and yet the heading is just about prevention. So what I'm proposing is that we should, the heading should say prevention of and early intervention for.
If we would say
Or early intervention and prevention services for substance abuse.
I think it's sufficient not to mention that is the rule. Whatever you're doing there is this aimed at prevention and early intervention.
Clarity, what are we agreeing on in terms of the heading of chapter 4?
That's what we're trying to establish. What do you suggest?
No, I wanted to hear exactly so that I could capture it.
The proposal is early intervention and prevention of substance abuse.
That's a proposal. Any objection to that? And that would be consistent everywhere else where we have a similar heading.
So, I'm just in terms of sequence and the flow of the things, in terms of that process of
prevention and then intervention.
In which case are we saying it needs to read prevention of substance abuse and early intervention services?
Shouldn't it say in? Prevention of and early intervention in? Aren't you intervening in the abuse of substance? Is there better English to put it other than that? Or is that the only English that can explain what actually happened, logically speaking? Is there any intervention in the abuse of substance? Yes, Mr. Pierre Rivier?
Can't we just say early intervention and prevention services? Because that would be in line with the services that we are referring to in Chapter 5 and Chapter 6 and in Chapter 7. So if we just...
Is that the language we've used today?
Yeah, in all the other chapters that
so let's we're be referring to. So let's be consistent with the language.
Early intervention and prevention services.
Yeah. All right.
So the proposal now is prevention and early intervention services. Because you wanted the prevention first.
Ms. Keller, what are you suggesting? Should we change all the other things to be consistent with that?
No, Chair. I would support the proposal that we keep it at prevention and early intervention services.
So effectively, all the other chapters would have to be adjusted to reflect that sequence. All the other clauses where that is referred.
I was under the impression that Mr. Vivier, the point that Mr. Vivier is raising is that the sequence of the wording here should be consistent with the body.
Mm-hmm.
And if we say prevention and early intervention, then it becomes consistent with what is in the body of the legislation.
Mr. Vivier, just read out again what you read to us.
No, I'm seeing the same song as Ms. Keller. They should read prevention and early intervention services.
And that's how it's used elsewhere.
Yes, the word services is being used in all the other chapters. And I think
the
word
prevention starts first.
Yes, and the sequence will also be correct.
Right. So let's just be consistent then with the rest of the body. Okay? Anyway, we pick any deviation, we'll adjust it accordingly.
Are we going to keep the then clause 11 under chapter 4?
Yes.
Are we going to remove it as it is where it is now on the chapter 5.
5, yes.
Because it's all about services. Right? And chapter 4 deals with prevention.
Yes.
So then we can
yes.
keep it under chapter 5 as it is or as it was.
No, no. The purpose is to do that it's wrongly placed. That
must then move to
it actually belongs to chapter 4. It's supposed to be the last clause of chapter 4.
But the point I'm making is actually the focus is on the services.
No, no. Chapter 5
prevention
is
and early intervention services.
Chapter 5 is focused on
community-based services. Yeah.
Community-based is the operative way.
Yeah. Community-based services.
Yeah.
And this is all about services
no,
that
no,
the
no,
community
no, no,
must render.
No.
Well, I'm just saying there was...
No. The focus of chapter 5 is community-based. Just focus on that word, community-based. That's the operative.
Must be community-based services. And the whole chapter is services, community-based services.
Chapter 4 has just been corrected to read heading prevention and early intervention services.
That's the new heading.
That's the new heading for chapter 4. Are we in agreement?
Yeah.
And therefore, clause 11 is going to read provision of prevention and early intervention service. Is that correct?
Mm.
All right. And it's going to come under chapter 4 and no longer under chapter 5. Is that correct?
Yes.
So we are all happy. All right. Right. Now, let's proceed. Where are we? Anything else of the nature of a correction in respect of the list of contours? Yes, Ms. Gumede? Honorable Gumede?
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, Chair? As you are saying, that clause 11 should go under chapter 4. Are we now removing that by various stakeholders, or are we leaving it like that? Chairperson, that's point number one. The second one is in chapter 6, Chairperson, center-based and outpatient services, where it says private halfway house, establishment of private halfway house, registration of private halfway house. Are we turning those two private into two public? The other one remains private, the other one remains public. Okay.
It is because at some point the two were split and there must have been
accommodation for both of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're dealt with separately.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Anything else under the list of content? Now, before we start with the body of the bill, I just want to satisfy ourselves that that we're covered that far. I was reluctant to raise this earlier, but I'm worried that if I don't raise it, because we did think very quickly on Friday. May I indulge the committee and just take you to the opening of the long title? It reads, to provide for a comprehensive national response and create mechanisms for the combating of substance abuse through prevention, early intervention, etc. Now, my fear is that the two concepts have been combined when they should have been split. In the first instance, when we talk of a comprehensive response to combating
national comprehensive national response to combating of substance abuse. We're referring to the measures that are alluded to in chapter 3. Chapter 3. All right? Now, if you look at that chapter, it deals in the broadest possible way with the issue. All right? Whereas if you read the mechanisms that are referred here, those mechanisms narrow the focus down to the mechanisms that are provided for specifically in this bill. And that excludes all other mechanisms aimed at combating substance abuse that exist elsewhere. You know, your supply side measures and the roles of your subsys and the subsys and all the other people are not included in that second part. All right? So I think that, in a sense, that becomes an inaccurate reflection of what the bill is trying to do. So my proposal of the correction is that it should read, to provide for a comprehensive national response, and you leave out, you cut out and create mechanisms, all right? So it will read to provide for a comprehensive national response for the combating of substance abuse, all right? And that is the first statement in its own right. And then we proceed and create mechanisms. So we bring back that and create mechanisms there. And maybe we could say, we could bring in the element of supply, the harm reduction and what's that? Harm reduction and... No, we're leaving out supply now because we're getting to the narrower focus of those books. Yes, Ms. Bradley?
If I'm hearing you correctly, could we not just change the word provide for facilitate and leave everything else exactly the same? To facilitate a comprehensive national response and create mechanisms for the combating of. And then we're sort of separated because you're facilitating the comprehensive response, then you're providing the mechanisms for everything else. And then we don't have to change anything else.
You see, my fear is that this mechanism do not constitute the full list of state interventions towards combating substance abuse. And that is my worry. And we don't want to create that impression.
You know what my argument is when I'm listening to you is, I can hear what your worry is, but my feeling here is that we're clearly saying that the mechanisms are through early intervention, so we're only promising to create mechanisms for the combating of substance abuse through those things. Your only worry was that if we use the word provide for the comprehensive, it seems like we have to provide it all in the bill. So if we just say this bill is one of our major things is we want to facilitate the comprehensive national response, then we're going to create the mechanisms, but only through those avenues. I think we've... If I say again, so instead of provide for... to facilitate a comprehensive national response and create...
You see, the difficulty with that proposal, I hear what you propose. The difficulty is that the way to provide is a standard for... It's even more than that. It simply tells you what this bill seeks to do. You see, so that term has a specific legal meaning, and you can't avoid using it. You see, because we're not facilitating through passing this bill, we're providing for something in the law. All right. So provide is correct way it is. The problem is that we're giving the impression that here, all right, we in fact, all I'm saying is that these are two different concepts and interventions and require to be dealt with separately. That's what I'm saying. So it's just a question of the formulation. Now, effectively what is happening here is that the first part relates to chapter three. The second part relates to chapter four. And all we need to do is to split the two chapters in the long title. And we just need to find the right formulation for it. All right. So let me just continue with where I was in terms of proposing a formulation. All right. It's to provide for a comprehensive national response for the combating of substance abuse. All right. And all right, because that's a separate concept now. All right. And to provide still, hey? And to provide for mechanisms aimed at harm reduction, exactly what the way we put it in chapter 4. What did we say in chapter 4, the heading? Harm reduction and what? Basically, simply say what we're saying in chapter 4. There. No, is it chapter 4 or chapter 3? Oh, sorry. The first part relates to what is said in chapter 2, combating of substance abuse. The second part relates to what is said in chapter 3, which is strategies and principles for demand and harm reduction. So, and to provide for mechanisms aimed at harm reduction. What is it? Demand and harm reduction. Demand for and harm reduction of substance abuse. Would that be the correct way? And then through, and then we list those things, and basically the whole thing continues. Is it clear? Yes.
Yeah, I agree with your proposal, except that after to provide for a comprehensive national response, I think for the combating of substance abuse.
Yeah.
The best thing is for us to have the same column there and then say to provide for mechanisms.
I have no difficulty with that. I have no difficulty with that. All right? Okay? Let me try. To provide for a comprehensive national response for the combating of substance abuse, semicolon. All right. Are we going to have to put end? Or do we simply semicolon and we continue? And then we continue. And then we're going to say semicolon to provide for a mechanism aimed at harm reduction. So demand what? Aimed at reducing. Is it reducing?
It's really what you propose them in the first.
All right.
After the first line, we'll then say, after a semicolon, it will be to provide for mechanisms aimed at demand for and harm reduction of substance abuse through prevention and intervention, treatment and reintegration programs. I think that's what you proposed, then I think we can then discuss it too. If I
something not gelling there. I think harm reduction needs to be split there. Because reduction is in respect of both concepts.
Yeah.
So it should be to provide for mechanisms aimed at the reduction of demand for and the harm of substance abuse. Would that be the correct phraseology?
Yes, I think in both cases we reduce.
So can I propose that maybe to provide for mechanism for demand and supply and harm reduction in relation to substance abuse?
Demand and harm reduction.
Yes.
And the words are not attached to each other. They're separate words.
Yes.
All right. Okay. It's sufficiently clear. All right. Okay. Okay. Somebody can just rewrite the long title, and haven't we brought our computers and printers here? All right. Can that be arranged so that as we're going along, things can be printed and be made copies of, or at least circulated if need be? All right. But that's just basically it. It's to provide four mechanisms for demand. All right, somebody will write it up. Miss Keller, can you repeat what you said earlier?
Okay, it says to provide for mechanisms aimed at demand and harm reduction in relation to substance abuse.
Then a colon, and then the rest. Okay? We've got that. Okay. Yeah?
Could we not recommend that our colleague go home and go to bed in the interest of everyone here? Because we're all going to probably get sick. And she's obviously not well because she's dozing. She's dozing, she's coughing, she's whatever. And I'm just thinking that for her benefit and for our benefit, I think somebody should suggest.
Okay, can we proceed now? Are we all now happy? I feel a lot better now because I was having stomach butterflies as we were going along. So Ms. Dudley won't have to complain that I go to bed too. Lana, do you want to say something?
Chair, I just want to know what happened to the part for a comprehensive national response. Is this now omitted from the preamble as redrafted?
No.
It remains. Okay.
It remains. That's the very first part. That's the opening statement.
Okay.
That's the grand opening. All right? Is the opera or the opera?
Now, we proceed to deal with the definition section. I won't tell you which page because my page is not completed.
All right, let's proceed.
I'm on page 4.
Yes.
Definitions. Chapter 1, Definitions and Objects of Act. Definitions. In this act, unless the context indicates otherwise, abuse means the sustained or sporadic excessive use of substances includes any use of illicit substances. Aftercare means ongoing professional support to a service user after a formal treatment episode has ended in order to enable him or her to maintain sobriety or abstinence, personal growth, and to enhance self-reliance and proper social functioning. Central Drug Authority means the Central Drug Authority established by Section 53. Child means a person under the age of 18 years. Child and Youth Care Center means a child and youth care center as defined in the Children's Act. Children's Act means the Children's Act 2005, Act No. 38 of 2005. Community-based services means the services provided to persons who use, abuse, or are dependent on substances and to persons affected by substance abuse while remaining within their families and communities. Criminal Procedure Act means the Criminal Procedure Act 1977, Act Number 51 of 1977. Department means the Department of Social Development in the National Sphere of Government. Detoxification means a medically supervised process by which physical withdrawal from a substance is managed through administration of individual prescribed medicines by a medical practitioner in a health establishment, including a treatment center authorized to provide such a service under the National Health Act. Director General means the head of the department. Halfway house means a public or private halfway house that has been established or registered to provide a sober living environment for service users who have completed a formal treatment program for substance abuse and who and require a protected living environment in order to prepare them for integration into society. Health establishment means a health establishment as defined in Section 1 of the National Health Act. Health Professions Act means the Health Professions Act 1974, Act Number 56 of 1974. HOD means a provincial head of department responsible for social development. Immigration Act means the Immigration Act 2002, Act Number 13 of 2002. Inpatient service means a residential treatment service provided at a treatment center. Involuntary service user means a person who has been admitted to a treatment center upon being convicted of an offense and has, in addition to or in lieu of any sentence in respect of such offense, been committed to a treatment center or community-based treatment service by a court. Committed to an inpatient treatment center by way of a court order after such court has held an inquiry, or transferred from a prison, child and youth care center, alternative care or health establishment for treatment of and rehabilitation for substances. Local Drug Action Committee means the committee established by the municipality to give effect to the National Drug Master Plan. Magistrate includes an additional magistrate and assistant magistrate. Management structure in relation to any treatment center and halfway house means the management structure of such treatment center or halfway house established in terms of Section 29. MEC means the member of the Executive Council responsible for social development in the province. Medical practitioner means medical practitioner as defined in Section 1 of the Health Professions Act. Mental Health Care Act means the Mental Health Care Act 2002, Act Number 17 of 2002. Mental Health Care User means mental health care user as defined in Section 1 of the Mental Health Care Act. Mental Health Practitioner for the purposes of this act means a psychiatrist or registered medical practitioner or a nurse, occupational therapy, psychologist or social worker who has been trained to provide psychosocial mental health care, treatment and rehabilitation services. Mini Drug Master Plan means the strategy by national departments, provincial substance abuse forums and local drug action committees that set out measures to control and reduce the supply of, demand for and harm caused by substances. Minister means the member of Cabinet responsible for social development. National Drug Master Plan means the plan referred to in Section 3, Subsection 4. National Health Act means the National Health Act 2003, Act Number 61 of 2003. Outpatient service means a non-residential service provided by a treatment center or halfway house to persons who abuse substances and to persons affected by substance abuse and which is managed for the purpose of providing a holistic treatment service. Persons affected by substance abuse means any member of a family or community not abusing or dependent on substances but who require services related to substance abuse. Police official means a member of the South African Police Service defined in Section 1 of the South African Police Service Act 1995, Act Number 68 of 1995. Prescribed means prescribed by regulations. Private halfway house means a halfway house that is privately owned and registered to provide a sober living environment for service users who have completed a formal treatment program for substance abuse and who require a protected living environment in order to prepare them for reintegration into society. Program means activities that give effect to the services defined in this act. Public halfway house means a halfway house that is owned and financed by the government or organ of state to provide a sober living environment for service users who have completed a formal treatment program for substance abuse and who require a protected living environment in order to prepare them for reintegration into society. Private treatment center means an inpatient or outpatient treatment service that is privately owned and registered for the treatment and rehabilitation of service users who abuse or are dependent on substances. Provincial Substance Abuse Forum means the forum established in terms of Section 51 by an NOC in order to give effect to the National Drug Master Plan. Public treatment center means an inpatient or outpatient treatment center that is owned and financed by the government or an organ of state and established for the treatment.
So it's very difficult to hear and try and concentrate when everybody's having conversations all over the room.
Can we have order in the house? If people want to confer, they may walk out and do that and come back into the room. Okay? Let's proceed.
Can we make a suggestion to everyone?
Yes.
I think we should, you know, look, cell phones are actually disturbing us.
Yes.
We find it very difficult to concentrate.
Yes.
Because we are distracted by people who are putting attention to their cell phones.
All right. All right. Okay, let's proceed.
I'll repeat the definition of public treatment center. It means an inpatient or outpatient treatment center that is owned and financed by the government or an organ of state and established for the treatment and rehabilitation of service users who abuse or are dependent on substances. Regulation means a regulation made in terms of Section 65. Rehabilitation means a process by which a service user is enabled to reach and maintain his or her own optimal physical, psychological, intellectual, mental, psychiatric, or social functional levels, and includes measures to restore function or compensate for the loss or absence of a function. Services means prevention, early intervention, treatment, reintegration, and aftercare, and any other interventions rendered by mental health care practitioners. Service user means a person who is abusing or dependent on substances and who, following assessment, receives services in a treatment center, halfway house, or community-based service. Social auxiliary worker means a person registered and authorized in terms of the Social Service Professions Act. Social Service Professions Act means the Social Service Professions Act, 1978, Act No. 110 of 1978. Social worker means any person registered as a social worker under the Social Service Professions Act. Substances means chemical, psychoactive substances that are prone to be abused, including tobacco, alcohol, over-the-counter drugs, prescription drugs, and substances defined in the Drugs and Drug Trafficking Act, 1992. Act No. 140 of 1992, or prescribed by the Minister after consultation with the Medicines Control Act Council, established by Section 2 of the Medicines and Related Substance Control Act No. 1965, Act No. 101 of 1965, and drugs in the context of this act has a similar meaning. Supply means the production and distribution of illicit substances. This act includes any regulation. Treatment means the provision of specialized social, psychological, and medical services to service users and to persons affected by substance abuse with a view to addressing the social and health consequences associated therewith. Treatment center means a private or public treatment center registered or established for the treatment and rehabilitation of service users who abuse or are dependent on substances. Voluntary service user means any service user who has applied for admission, has submitted himself or herself for admission, or is a child in respect of whom a parent or guardian has applied for such child's admission at a treatment center or for any other services and has been admitted to such a treatment center for skills development, treatment of, and rehabilitation for substances. Vulnerable persons include children, youth, older persons, people with disabilities, and service users recovering from substance abuse. Youth means youth as defined in Section 1 of the National Youth Commission Act, 1996, Act No. 19 of 1996. Clause 2, Objects of Act. The objects of this Act are to combat substance abuse in a coordinated manner, provide for the registration and establishment of all programs and services, including community-based services and those provided in treatment centers and halfway houses, create conditions and procedures for the admission and release of persons to or from treatment centers, provide prevention, early intervention, treatment, reintegration, and aftercare services to deter the onset of and mitigate the impact of substance abuse, establish a central drug authority to monitor and oversee the implementation of the National Drug Master Plan, promote a collaborative approach amongst government departments and other stakeholders involved in committing substance abuse and provide for the registration, establishment, deregistration and disestablishment of halfway houses and treatment centers.
All right. Any point of correction? I see that there's something that creeped in there in the, unless it's just my print, my version, in the heading. Chapter 1, the definition. Is that my version that has that theme? All right. Okay, any other correction? Yes, Ms. Dartley?
On page 6, services, just to check, the way I had it marked before, we were going to stop after aftercare. So, unless we had later decided to leave the rest in, so the way I had it here was services means prevention, early intervention, treatment, reintegration, and aftercare.
I recall something of that nature.
It was something that I brought up, that we see that we're going to end it. And any other intervention. And any other intervention as well. And leave out rendered by mental health care practitioners.
All right. Yes, Ms. Sample?
Chair, in the other spot is written, Dudley brought that up. Under service user, means a person is abusing.
Just before you proceed, is it all captured now? All right. Okay, yes. Proceed.
And service user, just a bit further down. In the second line of service user assessment, it's got ASSCSS, unless I'm not seeing properly. It should have been E, the spelling mistake. Is it E or is it a C? It's missing its little stroke. It looks like a C to me.
Maybe it's the ink that ran out. All right.
So there's a whole line like that. Okay.
Oh, all right. Okay. Any other correction? Yes.
Page 7, line 4. It says at a treatment center or for any other services. I think it should be for any other service.
That's the definition of what?
The definition of voluntary service user. After C, I don't know. Okay, okay, let me rather read. Okay, C reads, is a child in respect of whom a parent or a guardian has applied for such child's admission. Yeah, okay. Now it says at a treatment center or for any other services. I'm not sure. I think if you say any other service, it should be sufficient. Not
yeah,
services.
I think so.
Okay. The next one, Chase, on. What happened? I'm so certain, but it is. Okay, it's on page 5, Chase. The definition of community based services. And it reads. Means services provided to persons who use, abuse, or are dependent. I think we agree that we need to leave out use, because I think in our discussion we said abuse would include the use.
I think this bill confines itself to abuse, because use falls outside of the scope of this bill. We don't intervene if somebody's using. We only intervene if somebody's abusing. And the reason being, and that's why we had to redefine the word abuse to include the use of illicit substance, so that we can intervene even if somebody's just using them in code and not abuse them, because any use of illicit is abuse in terms of a new definition. So what are you saying there?
So I was suggesting that we leave out use. Because in fact, if you read the definition of abuse, it includes the use of
illicit, yeah. Okay. All right, yes, Ms. Keller?
Okay. I think in terms of just the whilst we're dealing with people who are abusing,
mm-hmm.
we also want to prevent abuse.
Yeah.
And we indicated that we would also be looking at people and those that drink whiskey, chairperson.
Yeah.
But are not abusing it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So you're going to stop putting of bottles of red wine at dinner table.
Yeah. No, but what you're doing, Chairperson, is preventing abuse, even amongst those people that use substances. That's the point that I'm trying to make. So it's not.
Let's go. Which definition is this again? Community-based. Maybe let's just look what exactly it said. Can somebody just read it for us? Yes, of community-based services.
Okay, it means services provided to persons who use, abuse, or are dependent on substances and to persons affected by substance abuse while remaining within their families and communities.
Why do you want to give services to people who use and not abuse? Because you think that they might potentially abuse.
Yeah.
What services are they? To tell them not to abuse. Not to go beyond the use plan. Not to cross the Rubicon. I think we're just splitting hairs. We're taking things a little too far. We're concerned about the abuse. We're concerned, that's really our focus. So let's not unwittingly dilute or derail our focus. All right? We want to prevent abuse. And that's basically it. We're not going to go around and put up stuff on tables next to red wine that say, please remember. Maybe we should. But no, I think it's all about abuse. You know? Not the use. Because there's no such thing as using an illicit substance, first of all. An illicit substance is not meant to be used. So you'd be abusing it the moment you use it.
So we are omitting the use.
Yeah. If you drink methylated spirit instead of cleaning a wound with it. if you use the methylated spirit to clean a wound, you are using it. But if you use it to drink it, you are abusing it. Even if you did it once in a lifetime. All right. Okay. Ms. Keller. Oh, sorry. Is that Mr. Kalamudi?
Maybe just to spark our thinking here. We have got people who smoke cigarettes, who are not abusing cigarettes. But on the cigarette packets, there are messages there. And then that message, I think, is purpose is to prevent the abuse of tobacco, so that we are always informed about the effects of tobacco. That is prevention. And then we are not saying that those people are already abusing cigarettes. So in this case, I should think it is more likely to apply. Like currently, I understand that the Department of Health is also do the same with the bottles of alcohol. And those messages, I should think their intention is to prevent people from abusing in advance.
Okay, we'll add this then. That make everybody happy. All right, Miss. You made a definition of community-based
service.
Yes.
Baba, that it is like the Tswana idiom says, you don't use, but I think we should include use Why? Because the abuse comes from the using. You cannot abuse before you use.
Yeah, with regard to the legal.
Yeah, in other words, we are trying to say prevention is better than cure. So with due respect.
Can you just read that definition again for the last time? Chief Director. No, you must finish your task that you're
doing. Community-based services means services provided to persons who use, abuse, or are dependent on substances and to persons affected by substance abuse while remaining within their families and communities.
Now, this is community-based service, you see? So why do we want those community-based services to go out there and target all these people who... Because that is done through national... It's done through different interventions. It's not done through community-based services. I think it's an overkill in terms of the context here. Because remember, the context relates specifically to defining the role of community-based services. And clearly the role of community-based services is primarily there to intervene in the case of abuse.
Yeah.
You see? The issue of use, yes, but in a different context, not in this context, I think.
I agree, Chair.
All right? Yes, Chief Director?
This is the only instance where we are referring to use. Throughout, we are referring to abuse or persons affected by substance abuse throughout the bill.
Excellent. Let's be consistent. Yeah, remove youth. Let him go. Magumed, etc. All right. Mr. Vivier.
Sorry, Chairperson, it's on page 6. Maybe my colleagues will not be in agreement with my problem here. It is a definition of the of private treatment center. It's on line 22. We are also including outpatient treatment centers. And I'm tempted to propose that we take out outpatient treatment. We are defining outpatient services there at the top of the page. You will see on the second line of that page. And my reason for saying that is, first of all, on the second line of the definition, we are referring it to the registration of treatment and rehabilitation services. And you will remember that we have decided the other day we're not going to regulate outpatient services. So actually, this is then incorrect to say the registration because we're not regulating it. And my second concern is that we normally refer to outpatient services, not necessarily outpatient centers. So I think it would be much safer if we can just take out the words outpatient treatment, that it will read then means an inpatient center that is privately owned, and the rest of the definition will then make sense.
And the definition is of?
Private treatment center.
Okay.
Then it will read means an inpatient center that is privately owned and registered for the treatment and rehabilitation of service users who abuse or are dependent on substances.
Yes, because we agreed that an outpatient service is always provided in an inpatient treatment center. Sounds like a contradiction. But it isn't, in the sense that so-called outpatient services are provided in an actual residential. So a residential treatment center provides services to two category of clients, inpatient clients and outpatient clients. And that's what distinguishes that treatment center from a community-based center, which always provides outpatient, if you like, services. All right, Ms. Dudley.
Is it not more correct to say then means treatment center that is privately owned and registered for the treatment and rehabilitation, and forget the in and out patients altogether?
I suppose that makes Mr. Vivius smile, so I suppose it's correct. Yes, anybody else? Everybody is happy. Even the chief director of legal services.
Yes,
all right. I always like to hear you say the word yes. That puts me at ease. Right. Okay. Let's proceed. Objects, no objections to any objects or objects. We done? We happy? All right. Can we proceed to chapter 2? Combating.
Chapter 2, Combating of Substance Abuse. Clause 3 is Interventions to Combat Substance Abuse. The Minister must, together with the Ministers responsible for the departments and state organs listed in section 53, subsection 2, A to T, take reasonable measures within the scope of their line functions and available resources to combat substance abuse through the development and coordination of interventions that fall into three broad categories, namely, demand reduction, which is concerned with services aimed at the elimination of the desire by members of the public to use substances. Harm reduction, which is for the purposes of this act, which for the purposes of this act is limited to the holistic treatment of service users and their families, and mitigating the social, psychological, and health impact of substance abuse. And supply reduction, which refers to efforts aimed at stopping the production and distribution of illicit substances and associated crimes through law enforcement strategies as provided for in the applicable laws. The ministers and organs of state contemplated in Section 1 must adopt a multifaceted and integrated approach to enhance coordination and cooperation in the management of substance abuse as provided for in Section 56. The ministers and organs of state contemplated in Section 1 must, within their available resources, ensure the effective implementation of the National Drug Master Plan. Cabinet must adopt a National Drug Master Plan containing the National Drug Strategy and setting out measures to control and manage supply of and demand for drugs in the Republic. The Minister must, after consultation with the ministers and state organs contemplated in subsection 1, coordinate the development and implementation of comprehensive intersectoral strategies for reduction of demand and harm caused by substances of abuse. The Central Drug Authority must facilitate, monitor, and evaluate the development of a multifaceted and integrated approach to enhance coordination and cooperation in the combating of substance abuse as provided for in Section 56 of Chapter 2.
All right. That's Chapter 2. Any correction? We happy with the mentioning of resources twice. Within the available resources, it's mentioned in sub 3, in as much as it is mentioned in sub 1 of clause 3. Aren't we repeating ourselves there effectively? And if so, what is the option? Is the option to to actually eliminate sub 3? Is there anything else that sub 3 says that's not already captured in the last part of sub 1? The ministers and organs of state contemplated in sub 1 must, within their available resources, ensure that effective implementation. But the effective implementation of the National Drug Master Plan, and in the next one we talk of the should we specifically say, refer to the drug master plan also in sub 1? Through the development and coordination of interventions, including the National Drug Master Plan. Maybe in line with the Drug Master Plan and the ABS, interventions that fall into the... okay, that's the three phase. Development and coordination of interventions. Should we say provided for in the National Drug Master Plan? Should we narrow it down to the National Drug Master Plan? Is the National Drug Master Plan capturing everything that departments individually do or should we do? Or not necessarily? I understand the Schools Act has recently been amended to provide for dealing with substance abuse in schools. Is it in the National Drug Master Plan?
No.
It's not. So it's a measure that education is taking upon itself that is not necessarily arising out of the Drug Master Plan itself directly. So including implementation of the National Drug Master Plan. Including the and the implementation of the Ms. Dudley?
Are we not safer at this stage just to leave it separate? It's a clear thought, then we haven't lost it, it's there. And at first I was going to say let's leave out the available resources because it's repeating one.
All right.
But I'm thinking let's not. Let's just leave it there because at this stage we're not that sure how it all links. So it's better to be safe than sorry. And this way we've covered both aspects fully.
All right. That's a proposal. Any better suggestion than that? So you're saying in the one instance it's broader, in the other instance it's focused, it's confined to the Drug Master Plan.
Yeah, and it won't harm by repeating it, whereas it might harm by us trying to link it in some way where it doesn't properly fit.
Yeah, but I want us to write a good law that does not repeat itself.
Too late has to be next term.
All right.
Sorry, Chair. You know, at clause 3.3.2, I raised something with the chief director over this weekend. We couldn't find solution, in fact. If you read clause 3.2, the minister and organs of state contemplated in subsection 1 must adopt a multifaceted and integrated approach to enhance coordination and cooperation in the management of substance abuse as provided for in Section 56. When I looked at Section 56,
otherwise, we've discussed it, but we haven't taken any decision, and now we're moving to some other
process. I thought when I asked if anybody had a better suggestion, and nobody raised their hand, which means the proposal by Ms. Dudley stands, and that is to keep it as it is. That's how I thought we had resolved it. Unless there's still somebody with a better suggestion. I'll welcome anybody.
Agreed, Chair.
All right. Now, we can proceed then.
Yeah. I recall that last week I had a problem with it, but I don't want to raise it. I saw that you went back to it, where I said if you are to put one as it is currently, you actually should leave out three last week. This is what I said last week. But I thought then the committee decided that it's fine this way. I mean, it's, you can keep it, but I could not understand if you were to read the two, 3.1 and 3.3. What is the understanding really? And I raised it, but I think at the end we agreed on it.
Because you're saying that sub 3 is in any case subsumed fully mm-hmm. in sub 1. Because the measures, mechanisms provided for in sub 1 would include the National Drug Master Plan. Would you accept that?
The question that I was raised last time, and I didn't actually want us to go back to it, but it was, in 1 you are saying they must do it together.
Yeah.
And in 3, we just saying the ministers must maintain their resources. So I'm not sure, are you saying they do it individually this time, or that's what I was, the issue that I had last week, but let's rather maybe not go back to them because it's not going to take.
Now, the Drug Master Plan actually forces them to work together. The implementation of the National Drug Master. In fact, the issue in sub 3 is to create an obligation for them to implement the National Drug Master Plan. So it's a much more narrow and focused issue as compared to the broader sub 1. So in sub 1 we've already stated the principle of collaboration. In this instance, we're simply creating an obligation to implement the National Drug Master Plan. I think we'll keep it as it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Right. State law advisor, you're on the floor. You said that 256. Talk to 56.
Yes, yes, sir. But I've read 56. I don't know. I think I've got a problem with cross-referencing there. That too doesn't talk to 56, actually.
Explain yourself.
Because 2 is talking about integrated approach to enhance coordination and cooperation in the management of substance abuse as provided for in Section 56. Section 56 is talking about the powers and duties of Central Drug Authority.
Yeah.
I think whilst we are dealing with it, maybe we should also look at subsection 6,
mm-hmm.
which is actually saying exactly the same thing, but it also says, but here it says as provided for in section 56. It says the Central Drug Authority must facilitate, monitor, and evaluate the development of a multifaceted and integrated approach to enhance coordination and cooperation in combating of substance abuse as provided for in section 56.
Mm-hmm.
In subsection 2, it says it must adopt, the ministers must adopt. So, but it also refers to section 56. So I'm not sure. I think for me, there's something wrong.
If there's something wrong, let's correct it. How do you propose to correct it? What do you think was the intention behind it? Today it's not a day to pick up mistakes only. It's a day to also offer solutions. Trying to get my pages correct. Somebody just. Offer the necessary solution in the meantime.
Sorry, Chair.
We had discussions on this clause previously,
mm-hmm.
and I indicated then that if you look at clause 3, sub clause 6, it basically repeats the powers and functions of the CDA. Because if you look at it, it just says what is it that the CDA is supposed to be doing.
So even if we were to leave it out, it will do no harm.
The
subclause 3, 6. Because it basically says the NDA must do what it's supposed to be doing in terms of its powers and functions.
That clause was originally under a different section, development of and compliance with minimum norms and standards, and we decided it didn't fit there. And
which clause is it? Subclause 3.
Subclause 6 was originally under a section with to do with
yeah.
minimum norms.
Why do we
and
have
standards.
It there?
We took it out of minimum norms and standards where we didn't think it belonged, and we put it here.
No, I think this clause is simply one of the functions of the CDA. It does not belong. You see, what clause 3 is about, the fundamental difference between clause 56 and clause 3, they mirror each other. In clause 3, we're creating a responsibility, or we resting ultimately the responsibility to combat substance abuse on the executives as a collective. So all these measures that are contained in sub 3 are aimed at addressing themselves fundamentally to the executive. Because we're saying the CDA, even though it's called Central Drug Authority, eh? What do they call it? Mm-hmm. Central Drug Authority. They're not really an authority. They don't have authority. Authority is borne by the executive itself. All right? They are simply there to facilitate and support and advise the executive in its execution of its constitutional mandate. All right? So we can't here now try and split that thought here. So what we then do in 56, we're saying for the executive to discharge its responsibilities under Chapter 3, we are creating a body called the CDA to provide the technical support. But ultimately the function and the obligation and the responsibility. So this is at the core of the long drawn out debate that we have had. And that's why we even refused the CDA its request to be established as an autonomous legal body. We said that will not change the situation. It's not going to give you powers that you don't have under the Constitution. You see? So that's the essence of it. So clearly, that clause does not belong there, as I read it. Unless we want to provide for a particular function or obligation or responsibility on the executive there. You see, that's why we introduced something that talks about Cabinet being the one that is charged with the responsibility of adopting the National Drug Act and actually stating it, because it's not stated anywhere in the legislation. It's stated in the context of the list of functions of the CDA. How do you subject the executive responsibility of Cabinet to the function of the CDA, which is just an advisory body? It's like putting the cart before the horse. So that's why we created this chapter in the first place. So, right, is there anything else that does not belong in this chapter that we need to remove? Whoever says sub 6 does not belong there, belongs to clause 56 anyway, is correct in terms of our thinking. All right? Yes, Chief State Law Advisor?
Except that I'm not representing my position, Chair.
All right.
I'm not on the table advice. I'm trying to find out, are you saying...
Oh, yes. go ahead now.
Okay. Clause 6. If you say it belongs to 56,
Are you saying we must move it to 56, or are we agreeing that it's a repetition of what is in 56?
If this is already there in 56, then we don't need it at all. If it's already covered in, all I'm saying is that that thought does not belong to it. Right? Yeah, we're dealing with ministers and state entities. Yes,
Have we made any decision regarding subsection 2?
What did we decide on subsection? Didn't we decide anything? What about subsection? Yeah? Is sub 2 not subsumed in sub 1? Because what does sub 2 want to? It seeks to introduce, to create the principle that the ministers and organs of state contemplated in 1 must adopt a multifaceted and integrated approach to enhance coordination and cooperation in the management of substance abuse as provided for in, I think this is just a repetition of what's in sub 1.
Put 2 and 3 together. So you put 2 there, but then it refers to the CDA and the National Drugs Master Plan. Would that make any sense?
But isn't 2 self-sufficient? There are 3 self-sufficient as it is. Of the implementation of the National Drug Master Plan, in an integrated and coordinated collaborative whatever.
Yeah, the way
what do we want to do? We've already stated the principle in sub 1. Correct? The principle in sub 1 is that the minister must, together with the ministers responsible for the departments and state organs listed in section whatever, take reasonable measures within the scope of their line functions and available resources to combat substance abuse, so that's the objective there, through the development and coordination of interventions that fall into 3 broad categories. All right. So the coordination of those interventions is mentioned, and the fact that they must develop such intervention. All right. So development and coordination of intervention is the buzzword for sub 1. All right. The buzzword for sub 2 is adopt a multifaceted and integrated approach why don't we say to combating substance abuse? Why do we say, do we bring 56 at all? What I'm trying to say is that the responsibilities of the executive are not hinged upon the role of the Central Drug Authority. All right? So we must not make any responsibilities of the executive subject to, in any way, whatever the central drug authority is supposed to do. Hence, we even said the adoption of the National Drug Master Plan, which is an overarching policy. It's not even the responsibility of the central drug authority. It's an executive function. Constitution says the executive adopts national policy. Right. So no reference of cross-referencing what 56 here. Now, I don't know what formulation we want to adopt here if we say that this is something extra to what is already contained in sub 1. That is sub 2. First, convince me that we need sub 2 even though we have sub 1. And then we can agree on a formulation. Ms. Dudley,
I'd like to propose that our clause 2 is a combination of 2 and 3, and it would read, the ministers and organs of state contemplated in subsection 1 must adopt a multifaceted and integrated approach to enhance coordination and cooperation in the management of substance abuse and the effective implementation of the National Drug Master Plan.
Is there anybody who has any objection to that?
No, agreed.
Agreed. Clever.
Well done.
I think the ACDP, the chairperson must write a letter and put little stars on it.
Thank you. Yes, you can do that.
To the leader of your party.
Yes, go.
This
for
is
it.
The
you
second time
response.
You bail this committee out. All right?
Thanks.
Okay. Now, let's proceed.
I just went out. I agree with the way that formulation is. It means now we have actually done away with sub 3.
Yeah, we combined sub 3 and sub 2 and created
yes,
a
new formulation, yeah.
Sub
okay.
6 is also dead.
Okay.
And therefore, the renumbering must happen accordingly. Yes, Ms.
I just wanted to have the first read against it.
All right.
Slowly.
Okay. As is two, the ministers and organs of state contemplated in subsection 1 must adopt a multifaceted and integrated approach to enhance coordination and cooperation in the management of substance abuse and the effective ensure the effective implementation of the National Drug Master Plan and to ensure, to enhance and to ensure, yeah.
All right. Everybody's got it. Lovely. Everybody happy. All right. We are now at peace with each other. Chapter 2. Oh, all right. I'm told by the secretary that she wants to relieve you for a few minutes and give you fresh tea. Let's break for 5 minutes on that beautiful note, and then we proceed to chapter 3. Time around. You will do yourself a lot of justice by bringing your cup of tea, quietly sitting, and if you need to confer, do it outside so that we can proceed. May I just indicate that the approach that we're going to adopt was to simply find technical errors and correct them. But clause 2 and the definition section had particular challenges, and I felt I needed to make an exception there, because chapter 2 is our own invention,
And therefore we need to make sure that what we have brought in, which is new altogether in the bill, does not compromise the quality of the bill as introduced. All right? Now, the Chief Director Legal Services has reminded me that one of the issues that we got stuck a bit on was the whole question of jointly versus severally, or the whole issue of together versus individually, to see how best we capture it. Now, the way in which we have sought to do this is that in one, we are not dealing with the issue of coordination as such. The primary focus of one is to deal with the obligation on each of those ministers to do certain things. All right? Whether there has been a prior meeting where they sit and confer or not, we're saying they're not waiting for anybody. If education is ready to move, they must move. But something must happen. All right? And we're putting it right up front. That's why we're putting it in one. But then in two, we're saying even as they do that, you know, there has to be an element of collaboration, coordination, etc., etc. The national master plan is there to provide the framework for that to happen. All right? That is the new two, which is a combination of two and three. Now, the one thing that we have left out, that we had agreed upon last week, is that there has to be a minister who is responsible for overall coordination. All right? Because somebody must say, hey guys, we're quiet, we're not moving, or our policies are not gelling. Can we meet and discuss this thing? So we need to have a minister that take responsibility. And I think the chief director, welfare services, raised that concern. So we do need some kind of provision to that effect. Now, I don't want us to clutter sub one, you know, by putting that element there, because we're going to mix two different concepts that don't necessarily belong together. In one, we're saying individually each one of them, and hence the word together is even wrong to have been put in there, because it could mean more than one thing. It could simply mean the minister and the other minister, but it could also mean that they should work in work jointly, and that's not the intention. The latter is not the intention of sub one. So the issue of collaboration is captured in two, in the new two. One is their individual obligations, and we then need to put in the place of six that we deleted, a new thing that talks about coordination. A new thing that talks about a minister who should be responsible for facilitating that coordination. Have we? Can you read four for me?
The minister must, after consultation with the ministers and state organs contemplated in subsection 1, coordinate the development and implementation of comprehensive intersectoral strategies for reduction of demand and harm caused by substances of abuse.
Hmm. And we said we're confining his role to the harm reduction aspects and the demand.
To coordinate the development and implementation of comprehensive intersectoral strategies for the reduction of demand. So we're making an overall of the strategy.
Strategies for?
Comprehensive intersectoral strategies for reduction of demand and harm caused by substances of abuse.
Yeah. Who coordinates supply strategies? Supply reduction strategies? Nobody convinced them. Is that the intention of sub four? So we feel that they can coordinate themselves there. Doesn't the CDA coordinate that? Doesn't the CD deal with supply?
Doesn't safety and security deal with that, and the CDA is the link between the two?
So we're leaving it for maybe SAPS to be the one that coordinates the supply side. So we leave it open. All right, I can live with that. We keep four SETs. It stays the role of the Minister of Social Development. Maybe we shouldn't put too much on the plate of social development that they can follow. In which event, since we're dealing with demand and harm reduction specifically in the next chapter, why are we mentioning this coordinating function here and not there?
The reason was because we felt strongly that whilst we are trying to broaden it so that every department feels that they're not hampered, that they must use their initiative, it was also very necessary for us to put it back into the court of the Minister of Social Development. So we had to put it somewhere because
But can't we simply say that he should play this coordinating function in relation to combating a substance abuse? Period. Because if the CDA is in any case bringing everybody on board and is dealing with both supply and demand issues, and it's located, its secretariat is located within the minister's department, he's already doing it anyway. So we could leave out demand and supply and simply the combating of substance abuse, government efforts aimed at combating substance abuse. Because if the CDA is doing it and it's located. Yeah. Ms. Keller, it is at this juncture that I need your expert opinion. Is the CDA not coordinating everybody's efforts, both from the supply and demand and in relation to both supply and demand?
Yes, Chairperson, it coordinates and reports to the Minister and advises the minister accordingly.
So what stops us from saying the minister coordinates? Because that's all he's doing. He's not in fact even developing the strategies himself. He's coordinating the development of those strategies. So he brings everybody on board and say, guys, Sat, tell us, are you winning the battle? Why don't you work in collaboration with education or health or whatever on this issue? Or at least convene so that there's a platform for them to converge and engage on this matter. Yes, Ms. Keller?
Yes, I was looking at section 5, because it says integrated intersectional strategies for reducing reducing demand and harm caused by substances, and it says the minister must together with the other ministers.
Yes.
So it's covered there, Chairperson, what you know, and I think this was in relation to that, introducing the other part of the of this, but if you talk about
what
the
does sub five, are we talking sub four or sub five?
No, no, what I'm trying to say, Chairperson, if you read sub four, it says the implementation, development and implementation of comprehensive intersectoral strategies for reduction of demand and harm caused by substances of abuse, which is dealt with in subsection 5.
So it does a repeat anyway?
Yeah, it can be. It can be seen to be a repeat.
So all we should say is delete 5 and there, instead of saying harm and reduction, simply say for the combating of substance abuse.
Yes.
First of all.
I don't think I quite follow the discussion in terms of if you say we leave out sub 5, and I think you suggested we then.
Talk to me, why shouldn't we leave sub 5?
No, no, I'm not saying it shouldn't be left out, but I wanted to find out the motivation for, I mean, the suggested amendment when we leave out sub 5. What are we suggesting should be done?
No, all right. Sub 4 deals with the National Drug Master Plan, so it's not involved. It's about cabinet developing a National Drug Master Plan. So we're actually talking of sub 5. And all we're saying in sub 5 is that the minister must, after why must he consult with them when he's actually coordinating? I mean, the consultation part is a coordinating function itself.
Yeah.
So I think that part is not necessary. It should simply read the minister must coordinate the development and implementation of comprehensive intersectoral strategies to combat substance abuse.
So maybe
for the combating of substance abuse.
Maybe we could locate it in the National Drug Master Plan and restrict the coordination, because that's what the minister is responsible for. Not for the development and implementation of strategies.
Oh, so that's the reason why you're bringing four into the picture.
Yes, I'm just saying that maybe the responsibility of the minister in terms of combating substance abuse must be linked to the National Drug Master Plan.
But the National Drug Master Plan is the responsibility of cabinet to adopt.
But coordinated by the minister. That's
coordinating what? The implementation.
The implementation of the National Drug Master Plan.
So the minister, it's the new five, the minister must coordinate the implementation of the National Drug Master Plan for the combat substance abuse. And it will follow nicely with sub 4, which talks about cabinet having to adopt the National Drug Master Plan. All right? Agreed. Fine. The numbers will change accordingly. So we have one which leaves out the word together. We have two that talks about collaboration, a collaborated effort within the available resources. And then we have three, which was four and becomes three. And that deals with cabinet's responsibility to adopt the National Drug Master Plan. Then we have four, which was five, which deals with the minister's coordinating function in the implementation, now that the Drug Master Plan is there, in the implementation of the Drug Master Plan. And then six falls off altogether. Are we then covered? Anybody who's not happy with anything? Sean?
Just a small one, the chairperson. The reference to 53, subclause 2A, should go to U and not to T. In 3.1.
All right.
It goes to U and not to T.
Corrected? All right. Everybody happy finally now with chapter 2?
Chair?
Yeah?
I just wanted to be sure on the new sub 5.
Right.
Are we saying you should read the minister? Yeah, it will be for the, okay. The new sub 4. I wanted to get the correct phrasing because I think when I listen, it's like you're leaving out development. You only refer to implementation of the National Drug Master Plan.
Yeah, the minister is not. So you feel that cabinet would have adopted something that must have been developed. So in 3 you're saying cabinet adopts, and then in 2 the minister assists cabinet in developing it before they adopt it. Is that what the point you're trying to make?
No, Chair. When I listen to you reading out the new sub 4, I hear that you left out development. I wanted to be sure whether that is the intention.
Yeah, but I want to hear you further. I don't want you to just ask questions of clarity. I want to hear your opinion on the issue. I want to know whether, in your view, do you feel that it would be more appropriate to say in full that the minister actually develops or coordinates the development of the Drug Master Plan, which in 3 we're saying is adopted by cabinet? Is that a suggestion you want to make?
I think we could, but I wanted to be sure we could leave out development because in any case, the NDA is responsible for the review.
CDA.
The CDA is responsible for the review of the National Drug Master Plan every 5 years. And I think that will be the process of developing, redeveloping it, if we can use that name. So it should be sufficient to leave out development. But I wanted to be sure, so that when you come here tomorrow,
so you are in, agreement with the proposal.
Yes.
We don't just want you to be sure of what he's saying. We also want to know if you agree with what he's saying.
No, I'm fine.
Because we could be wrong and you could be, you could have a better suggestion. All right? Okay. So we're sticking with that. We're sticking with living out development, but coordination of implementation. We think that in 3, in any case, since we've created the obligation on cabinet to adopt the Central Drug Master Plan, and since in the functions of the CDA, we have alluded to them assisting in the review by cabinet of that Drug Master Plan, that we have covered both grounds in terms of the technical input that cabinet will use in order to adopt the Drug Master Plan.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anybody who has any doubt? Ms. Keller? You're comfortable? Sure. All right. Okay. Now, chapter 3. Oh, Lana Peterson.
Sorry, Chair. I don't want to take the committee back, but section 53.2A, the U, is a listing to persons, and T refers to the State Department. So are we referring to those persons within those departments? Because the last, I think U ends with the, or T ends with the National Prosecuting Authority, and you refers to other members or persons, you know, and qualifies their knowledge and experience of something. So it's just a small cross-reference that we propose to change on, and I just want to be sure that is what we want. Thank you.
Anybody who can assist us?
Yes, I think Lana is correct. The initial cross-referencing, I think, was correct, where it ended with T.
the other group we don't want to refer.
Yeah, because they are not necessarily organs of state or departments.
That's correct. Okay. So they don't have. Here we're talking about people who hold power, who have an executing responsibility. All right. Yes. Yes, is that Mr. Kalamudimu?
Yes, sir. Chair, 3.1A, which is demand reduction, which is concerned with services aimed at the elimination of the desire by members of the public to use substances. To me, firstly, this sounds unachievable. And then secondly, we have it used the word use. Maybe we need to look into that.
Now, they shouldn't desire. What should they do? Have you got an alternative? Look, I don't think we're going to try here and try the impossible task of coming with a more than perfect law. If perfect is fine, but I don't think we should strive to make it more than perfect. All right? Because we don't have the luxury of time to do that. Yes, Mr. Kalamudin.
Maybe, Chairperson, maybe we can say, instead of the first, maybe delete the word desire, maybe capture it as the intention to abuse. Then it sounds better. Not desire to use.
But it's about desire, it's not about intention. All right, ruled out. And from now on, let's draw changes that are absolute. I allow flexibility for chapter 2 because it's our own creation. All right? But from now on, let's raise things that are absolutely critical. Right. Chapter 2. Going. Going. Gone. You don't like what? What is it you don't like, Miss? Is that you've been liking everything thus far. Miss Temple, what is it that you don't like?
No, I agree. I don't like the desire either. But, if we could just say demand reduction, which is concerned with services aimed at eliminating substance abuse. But, that's exactly what we're saying. So, I don't know.
So,
I'm professionally
just consistent language. Where are we there, by the way? Which clause are we looking at?
My proposal is that we leave it as is, because whatever we touch, we're going to want to restructure and restructure, because actually none of us are fully happy with everything. But the idea behind that is, I would imagine, the early intervention services. So it's a way of trying to explain early intervention services, which is a way of trying to eliminate or minimize people's desire to have. So I don't think there's many other ways we could
certainly can't say to use it. Necessarily we have to say to abuse.
You would desire to use, you wouldn't desire to abuse. So we get caught whichever way we go.
Yeah, it's not a desire. Yeah, I agree.
The word need comes.
Services as aimed at discouraging the abuse of substances by members of the public. Discouraging the abuse of substances by members of the public. All right? Everybody happy? Mr. Kalamudin, Am I satisfying you?
I'm happy, Chairperson.
Thank you. Excellent. Thanks for your tenacity. Right, chapter 3. Our reader, she reads with the speed no longer of light, of what? Is it neutrons or what? Neutrons.
Yes.
All right. Speed of neutrons. Please proceed.
Chapter 3, on page 8, Strategies and Principles for Demand and Harm Reduction. Guiding Principles for Provision of Services, Clause 4. All services rendered to service users and to persons affected by substance abuse must be provided in an environment that recognizes the educational, social, cultural, economic, and physical needs of such persons, ensures access to information regarding the prevention of substance abuse, promotes the prevention of exploitation of such persons, promotes the respect of the person, human dignity, and privacy of service users and persons affected by substance abuse, prevents stigmatization against service users, promotes the participation of service users and persons affected by substance abuse in decision-making processes regarding their needs and requirements, recognizes the special needs of people with disabilities, ensures that services are available and accessible to all service users, including women, children, older persons, and persons with disabilities, without any preference or discrimination, ensures that such service users are accepted as human beings in need of help and with the potential to change, coordinates the educational needs of children with the relevant education department, strives to render effective, efficient, relevant, prompt, and sustainable services, respects the confidentiality of the information relating to the treatment and rehabilitation of service users and persons affected by substance abuse, and respects the rights of service users and persons affected by substance abuse to give written consent to participate in any research related to their treatment and rehabilitation. Clause 5, intersectoral strategies for reducing demand and harm caused by substance abuse. The minister must, together with the National Youth Commission, the National House of Traditional Leaders, and the ministers of finance, education, health, justice and constitutional development, arts and culture, sports and recreation, and safety and security, develop and implement comprehensive intersectoral strategies aimed at reducing the demand and harm caused by substances of abuse. These strategies must include four categories of service, namely prevention that provides for measures aimed at skills development for individuals, families, and communities to enable them to enjoy a better quality of life, anticipatory actions to reduce the likelihood of undesirable conditions which may expose people to substance abuse, including information, communication, and education of members of the public about the risks associated with substance abuse. Proactive measures targeting individuals, families, and communities to avoid the abuse of substances and to prevent persons from moving into higher levels of substance abuse, and the creation of opportunities for and promotion of healthy lifestyles. Early intervention that provides for the identification of risky behavior that is associated with and predisposes people to substance abuse, the detection of conditions such as poverty and other environmental factors that contribute to crime and the use of substances, diversion of service users to programs that promote alternative lifestyles, programs to interrupt progression of the use of substances such as recreational drug use to the higher levels of dependence through skills development and developmental social therapeutic interventions, and referral to treatment programs where appropriate to reduce the social, health, and economic consequences for service users. Treatment that provides for medical interventions that address the physiological and psychiatric needs of the service user. Psychosocial programs that address the emotions, feelings, attitudes, beliefs, thoughts, and behavior patterns of service users. Provision of interventions that target the environmental factors in the space of the service user, including the family and community, and the preparation of service users for integration into society through developmental programs, including skills development and aftercare and reintegration that provides for the integration of people who have undergone the formal treatment episode into their families and communities, individuals to be equipped with additional tools to maintain their treatment gains to maintain sobriety and avoid relapse, The establishment of mutual support groups enhanced their self-reliance and optimal social functioning, and the link between service users and resources for their further development and well-being. The minister must, after consultation with the ministers and state organs referred to in subsection 1, develop and implement comprehensive intersectoral strategies for treatment services contemplated in subsection 2c. Clause 6, development of and compliance with minimum norms and standards. The minister must, after consultation with the relevant ministers and by notice in the Gazette, prescribe minimum norms and standards. For programs that give effect to prevention and early intervention services relating to the protection of children and service users in treatment centers and halfway houses, for the registration and management of community-based services, for the establishment, management, monitoring and assessment of halfway houses and treatment centers, for the registration, monitoring and evaluation of outpatient services, and for the establishment of the monitoring and evaluation of reintegration programs and services. The Central Drug Authority must ensure a multifaceted and integrated approach to enhance coordination and cooperation in the combating of substance abuse as provided for in Section 56. Any treatment center, halfway house, or person that intends to manage or is managing at any treatment, rehabilitation, skills development, prevention, intervention, aftercare or reintegration program for substance abuse must comply with the applicable minimum norms and standards contemplated in this section. No person may be involved in the treatment, rehabilitation, and skills development of people abusing substances or affected by substance abuse unless such person has completed an accredited training. The accreditation contemplated in subsection 4 must be provided in terms of the South African Qualification Authority Act 1995, Act No. 58 of 1995. Support for services delivered by service providers of Clause 7. The Minister may, from funds appropriated by Parliament for that purpose, provide financial assistance to service providers that provide services in relation to substance abuse. For the purposes of Paragraph 8, prioritize certain needs of and service for persons affected by substance abuse. In the prescribed manner, enter into contracts with service providers to ensure that the services contemplated in Paragraph B are provided. And provide assistance to persons who establish substance abuse services. The Minister must prescribe conditions for the receiving of financial assistance referred to in Subsection 1A, including accounting and compliance measures. Prescribe remedies for failure to comply with the conditions contemplated in Paragraph A. Establish and maintain a register of all assets bought by service providers with government funds. And prescribe conditions for the management and disposal of assets contemplated in Paragraph C. Service providers who procure any movable property with the funds appropriated in terms of Subsection 1 must ensure that the register of deeds makes the necessary entries in the title deed indicating the state ownership of such property.
Ms. Sample?
Thanks, Chair. Two questions.
Yes.
In 5.1, was there a reason why we decided not to include the Minister of Provincial and Local Government? Because it was suggested at one stage, but I might have missed that.
Anybody who can clarify? Ms. Keller?
Interesting.
All right. Or included, all right?
And then secondly, here on page 9, since from 2, it's the lead. It's not the lead. Hmm? Attitude, the lead.
All right. Yes. Sounds like good English.
Integrated approach of the CDA. Take it off.
On that point, no, we
just removed it from chapter 2.
So we may want it to stay there. We wanted to go somewhere. We just didn't know, but we definitely didn't want
this
it in chapter 2.
On
the
CDA.
The Central Drug Authority must.
Which sub-block?
Page 6.
6.2.
6.2.
So we've just removed it from chapter 2.
purely because we didn't feel it belonged there. So we're going to check if it belongs here.
I think we said ensure should be replaced with facilitate. Would it be the implementation or development of? The adoption of. Because what we're saying is that the CDA cannot effectively ensure, it doesn't have power. Ensure it's if you have the power to do so. So it's more an advisory body. It can only facilitate to advise and so on. And providing the platform. Yeah, who's addressing me? Wait, first of all, have you got it right? Is it facilitate the what? The adoption of a multifaceted approach, because an approach is something that you have to do something in English, you have to adopt it or something. Just proper English. Which hand? Yeah, I want to, is it on this issue? Yeah? Yes, Ms. Rajpani?
Yeah, Chairperson, if you take from page 8, all the way down it says the minister must, but when we come to the support of service delivered by service providers, the minister may, from the funds appropriated by the parliament. Can't you say the minister must?
In relation to?
From the fund appropriated the parliament for the purpose. Why are we using may? It just may not.
No, we haven't gotten there yet. We're still fixing this thing about the central drug authority in sub 2. We'll come back to that.
Okay.
All right. Let's just agree, how do we... The Central Drug Authority must facilitate facilitate the adoption of or the implementation of must facilitate the implementation of a multifaceted and integrated approach. Or adopt.
You just said they didn't have the authority to do that. So they
would. They don't have the authority to ensure.
Or to adopt.
At best, they can advise. No, they're not adopting. They're facilitating the
adoption. But even implementing, then they would.
Facilitating in the sense of either advising or providing technical expertise. Yeah, so they're not themselves doing it, but they're making it possible through technical support. All right? The only thing I'm not sure whether we can simply say facilitate a multifaceted and integrated approach. Is that sufficiently clear in English?
What that's saying to me is it's discussions around a table. They must facilitate an approach to this issue whereby everybody comes and gets together.
So you feel that you... That's what we want. So both the two of you to whom English is first language are agreed that this is good English.
Good English is that's what we envision. That it's nothing more than facilitating
an approach.
So that
we can facilitate an approach. Basically, that's what the English grade A's are saying. All right. So we'll stick with it. All right. Yes. Let's see. Are the lawyers agreeing with the English speaker?
Yes, Ms. Well, let's first see the policy experts. Are the policy experts agreeing?
Okay, I think what we can facilitate is coordination and cooperation through a multifaceted and integrated approach. But I don't think you can facilitate it an approach. What I said is to facilitate coordination and combat and cooperation that you can facilitate.
Okay.
Through a multifaceted and that's their function. But
Well, I suppose because it's at the level of the partner. They facilitate by providing a forum for that to happen. All right?
The issue that I wanted to raise...
So we've adopted this. Is everybody happy with the wedding? The lawyer. Are the lawyers and the policy experts agreeing with the... with the English speakers?
What is it that you want to leave out in...
Okay. Ms. Keller, can you read it out?
The Central Drug Authority must facilitate the coordination and cooperation through a multifaceted and integrated approach. must facilitate coordination and cooperation in the combat of substance abuse, in the combating of substance abuse through a multifaceted and integrated approach. Maybe that's better. Can I read it again?
All right.
The Central Drug Authority must facilitate coordination and cooperation in the combating of substance abuse through a multifaceted and integrated approach. That's provided for in Section 56. But Section 56 does not provide for this. Okay. Can I just make
why do we want to state the function of the CDA here? Because we're splitting up 56 now. 56 is there. All right? Remember, in clause 2, just to get our bearings correct, in clause 2, we're dealing with the role of the executive. In clause 56, we're dealing with the role of the CDA. In clause 3, we're dealing with what? Yes, so that's what we are outlining there. And that's it. We're not outlining the functions of the CDA. So it's taken away. If we need to repeat it in 56, if it's not there, then we can repeat it there. As Ms. Keller has read it.
Does the CDA have a role in the reduction the development of the compliance with minimum norms and standards? No role.
Okay. That's it. Anything else? Are we going back to Ms. Rajpali's Mom Keys's concern relating to sub something? Plus seven. Sub one. Plus 7-1, eh?
Yeah.
Anybody who wants to clarify from the department side?
Chief, my understanding is that you cannot actually compel the minister to make funds available. If the funds are available, the minister must decide whether or not he or she must fund any services. That is why we are saying maybe. And I think usually the detailed discussion is crafted.
Yeah.
So that the minister must exercise his or her discretion.
Now I remember. What we're saying, Mam Kizu, there, is that when it comes to funding NGOs, we don't want to create an absolute obligation. Because some of these NGOs are already funded elsewhere. Now, why must we be forced to fund because they are dealing with these things. They already have money in health, they already have money in sports to do the same thing. All right? In any case, we might not even have enough money in the competing interest to fund them. Even if they have a good plan, there might simply not be enough to cover everybody who has a good plan. So we don't want a mass today. All right. Right. Okay. Anything else under Chapter 3 that is griping anybody? Yes, Chief Director Legal Services.
So on page 8,
which
5,
all right.
B, Roman figure 2, it reads the detection of conditions such as poverty and other environmental factors that contribute to crime and the use of substances. I think it should be the abuse of substances.
Yeah.
And when you move to the same clause 5.2b, Roman figure 4, it says programs to interrupt progression of the use of substances. I think it should be of the abuse of substances also. On
this, let's pick it up everywhere else.
Okay. On 5.2d, Roman figure 2, it's on page 9, and it says, after care and reintegration that provide four, then Roman figure 2, individuals to be equipped with additional tools to maintain their treatment gains, to maintain sobriety and avoid relapse. I'm not sure what my view that you need to remove maintain, the second maintain, because I think to maintain the treatment game and sobriety. Because it's, if you look at the next one, it's also said to maintain sobriety. But it's not something that I think we could either keep or leave out. If, for me, this is not the major condition. So that's all my comments.
Anybody with any objection to all of that? Everybody is happy? Can I just ask a small question in passing? What does sobriety mean? Does it mean being sober? But if you drink whiskey or wine? Okay. All right. Any other matter under Chapter 3? All right.
You'll excuse me, the issue of the use of substances in terms of early intervention. The person is just using, it's not abusing yet. Let's find a child, let's say a child starts to drink.
Then the child is abused because the law prohibits it. Even if he had one thought.
Look for another example. One example.
Okay, Chairperson.
The definition of abuse is not clear enough on that point. We can revisit the definition.
Let's look at it, Chairperson, because I'm not talking about illicit substances here.
We're talking about illicit.
If somebody uses alcohol and that person is at risk, you can see that they're not at a stage where they're abusing it. But the way they are going, we want to prevent them from progressing to higher levels.
You add illegal use.
It's never illegal to person alcohol. Alcohol is never.
No, but if you drink it as a child, you are using it illegally.
If you are a child,
yes.
Okay.
But if you are an adult, you are using it legally, yes.
Yes.
So it's
but
used,
let's leave the child to. Let's take an adult. The idea in any intervention is that you start using the thing, but you don't realize the risks that are involved in it.
So?
And therefore your education of the community, even to those people that use, I'm just feeling a bit uncomfortable. Those people that use it for recreational purposes, there are risks that are associated with it. And therefore you want to get them before they get to the stage where they abuse the substance itself. So I'm just feeling a bit uncomfortable.
Ms.
You know,
Keller.
Me, I do feel uncomfortable.
Ms. Keller, leave us
who know how to responsibly enjoy our whiskey and our good vintage red wine alone. That is not the issue, the subject before this bill. This bill concerns itself with prevention and early intervention to prevent abuse of substances. So we prevent the abuse. So even when we are teaching people who are users, we are teaching them to avoid getting to a point of abuse. It is the abuse part that we're concerned with, never the use. All right? Children, by definition, when they drink, they're abusing because they're violating the law. People who take tick, even if they took one spliff once in their lifetime, they have abused it because those chemicals are not meant for human consumption. They were combined for a purpose for which the law says should not be. All right? And that is it. If the definition is not sufficiently clear, we can revisit it and make sure that it is clear. It may well be that the definition alludes to the use of illicit substances, but it's not referring to the use of illicit substances, the prohibited use of illicit substance. So that if you drink and drive and you exceed the legal limit, you abusing purely on the basis that the law says you may not drink above that limit. Alright? It's a illicit substance, alright? You are using it, but you are using in a manner that the law prohibits. It's distinct from an illicit substance that you are using, and irrespective of how you use it, it constitutes abuse. So those two similar but not the same concepts need to be clearly articulated in the definition of abuse. So we may need to go back there and tighten it. All right? Ms. Dudley, talk to me.
Okay, what you're saying is relevant to 5-2B2. However, when it comes to 5-2B4, okay, just to point out that the programs to interrupt progression of, we're not talking about the progression of the abuse. We actually are talking about the progression of the use. So, any other suggestions?
I have a suggestion, the chair, because I don't like that either.
Uh-huh.
May I suggest? Can I speak first, Michael? Programs to interrupt the progressive abuse of substances. My suggestion there. Programs to interrupt the progressive use of substances. Because we're talking about the increased abuse. Well, the use in the scale of the increased abuse, I think. So I don't like the stated there.
But let me tell you what is being said there. This, the example that I used in that sub 4 is not used. The example there is abuse, all of them. Okay, I'll read.
Such as recreational drug use.
That's recreational drugs. What recreational drug use? That's illegal. Is it possible to have a legal recreational drug? What are they? What is a drug?
If you look at the definition of substance and drug, in that definition, it includes tobacco.
So the meaning of the word drug includes illicit substances. Hence we say illegal drugs, to distinguish between legal and illegal drugs.
Yes. And you must also bear in mind that some of the drugs that are being used are actually illicit, but they are abused.
But why don't we use substance consistently throughout? Why do we suddenly use the term drug?
There's actually nothing wrong
with the use of the word drug.
Yes,
because there's a difference.
There is a change. If you look at the definition of substances,
it includes.
It says if you use drugs, it means substances. So there's nothing wrong with the use of the word drug. But I am not really sure whether, if you were to say, for example, include such as recreational drugs and leave out use, because I think you are concerned with the abuse.
I think we must try and be consistent. Programs to interrupt progression. What does progression mean? English people. What does the word progression mean?
What they're trying to say is that you move up the scale from sort of the recreational use to the dependency. I think that's why I wanted to say programs to interrupt the progressive. What did I say? The progressive abuse of substances.
What are recreational drugs? Take a recreational drug.
Are we not really trying to say just to dissuade increased use?
I think we should try and use simple language. Why do we give an example? Programs to interrupt progression. Programs to prevent substance abuse, unless we've mentioned it anywhere else. Why do we want to nitpick here, to specify? It's hair splitting to me. These things will be dealt with in programs themselves. They're all part of prevention, aren't they? Or any intervention for that matter.
Whatever. So if the department wants to put money to a certain program, they would probably have to explain that program is valid in terms of the legislation. So that's all we want to know, is if a broader wording would be adequate for you to be able to access the funds.
I accept progression. But you could progress from one level of abuse to another level of abuse. In the case of tick, you can progress from just taking one tick per year to taking one tick every three days. They say it lasts you for 3 days. So immediately you get off your high, you pick up another one, as opposed to doing it once a month, during month end when you've got a few cents extra. Look, I think it's splitting of hairs. Let's just have progression in the abuse of substances. Yeah. Simple. Yes, who else is addressing me?
It's me.
Yes, wait, Honorable Bokopane Zulu.
No, I was going to propose what has been proposed here. That you leave out the rest of the stories.
Yes. All right.
Okay. Is it okay if you say programs to interrupt progression to higher levels of dependence through skills development. Is that what you're saying?
Higher levels of abuse include.
Sorry, sir. That's not what I am saying.
All right, talk to her.
I don't know, but I.
I might be wrong, and I'm happy to go with the majority, but I have a problem with the interrupting of the progression.
All right.
Because I'm just trying to think from a program implementation. And I tend to agree with Ms. Dudley. How do you... I'm struggling with that. So I would rather just... I would stick to the progression. Leave out use of a progression of the use of substances. Leave out the example, higher levels of dependency. And then rather have dependency through...
Just read it out the way you're formulating it. Try to...
Program.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that's fine. Program to interrupt progression of substance abuse to higher levels.
Program to interrupt progression of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Use of substances to higher levels through skills development.
Use or abuse?
Abuse.
Abuse of.
No, abuse.
All right.
Full stop check.
People are not yet abusing at this stage. It's early intervention, so there is probably no abuse at this stage. That's the issue. So they all want money for programs where there's not actually technically any abuse as yet.
Well, there is abuse.
Well, you know, we're thinking of the alcohol issues, I should imagine, more than anything else, because most other things...
Look at the definition of abuse. It's very dynamic. It's all very multifaceted. Before you even go further, you want to intervene where there's a problem. You don't just want to intervene purely because there's you. I'm going to rule now in the interest of time. We're going with abuse, and that's it. This bill is called Prevention and Treatment of Substance Abuse Bill. That's it. Yes. Keller, if it's cutting out and funding for you, hurry.
Well, can I get her in the final vision? Because I heard Ms. Mokpani sort of saying program to interrupt the progression.
Yes.
Of substance abuse.
Yes, that's what I said. To higher levels through skills development. And just to say, sir, there I'm also thinking...
To higher levels of substance abuse,
yes,
through skills development.
Yeah, but the abuse comes first, isn't it? Yes, program to interrupt progression of the use of substance.
Abuse.
Yes, sorry, abuse.
Of substances.
Abuse, yes. Abuse.
Of substances, yes.
And I mean, here I'm thinking about pregnant women in particular. Mm. I mean, those are some of the problems.
And we just leave to a higher level.
Yes.
All right.
I mean, this is where Madam Kera might...
Because the implication of the word progression suggests that's moving up.
That's why I'm using the pregnant woman example. I mean, if the nurses finds that this woman is abusing alcohol, you would need an intervention program to make sure that the abuse doesn't continue where it will infect the child, the unborn child. And I mean, that's what I can think of the current.
In fact, it may be, the progression may refer to horizontal or vertical, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
All right, fine. But in the course of horizontal, it could be affecting, causing damage at another context, such as Honorable Panizula cited as an example. Right, that's it. If anybody is not clear or can't remember what the formulation is, please consult Honorable Panizula and she'll give you that formulation again.
Oh, no, there's probably.
Right, everybody's got it, they've written it down, eh? Right. Now, anything else under this chapter? Going, gone. Next chapter.
Chapter 4, Prevention of Substance Abuse. Clause 8, Programs for Prevention of Substance Abuse. subclause 1, the minister may, in consultation with the National Youth Commission, National House of Traditional Leaders, South African Police Services, and the Ministers of Education, Health, Justice and Constitutional Development, Arts and Culture, Provincial and Local Government, and Sports and Recreation, facilitate the establishment of integrated programs for the prevention of substance abuse. Subclause 2, the programs contemplated in subsection 1 may include elements which A. Address the values, perceptions, expectations, and beliefs that a community associates with substances of abuse, and B. Develop the personal and social skills of people, especially children, to increase their capacity to make informed and healthy choices. Clause 9. Purpose of providing prevention programs. Subclause 1. The purpose of prevention programs is to prevent a person from using or continuing to use substances that may lead to abuse or result in dependence. 2. Prevention programs must focus on A. Preserving the family structure of the persons affected by substance abuse and those who are dependent on substances. B. Developing appropriate parenting skills and the capacity of parents and caregivers to safeguard the well-being of their children. C. Creating awareness and educating the public on dangers and consequences on the dangers and consequences of substance abuse. D. Engaging young people in sports, arts, and recreational activities and ensuring that productive and constructive use of leisure time. E. Peer education programs for youth. F. Enabling parents and families to recognize the early warning signs with regard to substance abuse and equipping them with information on appropriate responses and available services. And G. Empowering communities to understand and to be proactive in dealing with challenges related to substance abuse and its link to crime, HIV and AIDS, and other health conditions. Clause 10, establishment and purpose of programs for early intervention. 1. The minister must, in consultation with the National Youth Commission and the ministers referred to in section 8.1, facilitate the establishment of programs for early intervention. 2. The purpose of programs for early intervention is to identify and treat potentially harmful substance use prior to the onset of overt symptoms associated with dependency on substances. 3. Programs for early intervention must give effect to section 2B. 4. Programs for early intervention must focus on A. Identification of individuals, families, and communities at risk. B. Screening for problematic substance use to facilitate early detection and appropriate interventions. C. Enabling affected persons to recognize the warning signals of substance abuse and conditions related thereto. D. Providing families and communities with information to enable them to access resources and professional help. E. Involving and promoting the participation of children, youth, parents, and families in identifying and seeking solutions to their problems. F. Promoting appropriate interpersonal relationships within the family of the affected person. G. Promoting the well-being of the service user and the realization of his or her full potential. H. Sensitizing users and their families about the link between substance abuse, crime, HIV and AIDS, and other health conditions. I. Promoting the diversion of children and other users away from the criminal justice system. And J. Skills development and economic empowerment of users and persons affected by substance abuse. Clause 11, provision of prevention and early intervention services by various stakeholders. 1. The minister must, in consultation with the National Youth Commission, National House of Traditional Leaders, and the ministers referred to in Section 8.1, facilitate the establishment of the types of prevention and early intervention services and the manner in which such services must be provided in order to prevent substance abuse. 2. Prevention and early intervention services provided by an organ of state or any service provider only qualify for financial assistance in terms of Section 7 if those services comply with the minimum norms and standards contemplated in Section 6. 3. A service provider involved in the provision of early intervention services may not refuse to provide treatment to a person using substances if such refusal may result in serious harm to such person. End of chapter.
Any comments on this chapter? Yes, Ms. Sampo?
Chair, just as far as the ministers are concerned, in 8, does correctional services not have a role to play in any of this?
All right, response?
Probably apply to the previous one I brought up with local government.
Response department?
I could say.
Agreed. All right. Any other comments?
Can I
from
just find
any
out,
source?
Can I find out why do we have a may, not a must? Is
in
it
relation to?
The first, the very first part.
The minister may, in consultation with this minister, do what?
Yeah, the rest comes.
The establishment of integrated programs for the prevention of substance abuse. That must be a must, eh?
No, I'm just thinking, because then you have a must that follows in the other.
Yeah.
So isn't that a little...
Yeah.
While we are at it, I just want to ask a question. Number 10-1. Number 10-1. Do you really? Is there any reason? I mean, you say the minister must, in consultation with. Do you have to mention the youth commission? Because it's mentioned the same way as you've mentioned it with. Would we just rather just say referred to in section 8-1? Why do you choose to just mention them? What makes them so important? Or is it because they don't follow ministers? No, you don't have to repeat the whole thing, but I mean they are mentioned already in subsection 1. They are mentioned in subsection 8-1, aren't they?
Who wants to respond? I hear mumbling, but I don't...
Yeah, it is there in section 8-1.
Yes, and they are there in section 8-1.
Ms. Dudley, use your mic.
In addition to what she's saying, if we want to say that we would have... Why are we not also having the National House of Traditional Leaders? Because they would be just as relevant in terms of early intervention. So if we're listing, if we're specifying National Youth Commission, we should then specify a National House of Traditional Leaders.
Any response to that? Yes?
Good enough to check the 8-1.
Who's raised their hand?
To meet Chairperson.
On the matter itself.
Yeah, on the matter itself.
All right.
Since it's in 8-1, the minister may consult National Youth. And all, do we really need this paragraph in 10-1?
That would be a question that Honourable Spanish will have. Huh? What is our response department to all the issues raised? Legal
so the option could be to either refer to 8-1 to say in consultation with the department and organs of state referred to. Is that in plus 8-1?
The minister must be in consultation with
the minister, sir.
And then you put the reference. No, the minister must be in consultation with.
Is it ministers and organs of state?
So yeah. We're saying, what are we saying?
The minister.
Organs of state.
Can I try?
Yeah.
The minister must, in consultation with the ministers, refer to in section 8-1 and organs of state, facilitate establishment of property. Is that what you're saying?
The ministers and organs of state refer to in. Can I ask a question? Have we carefully looked at the distinction where in some instances we refer to the minister together with the other ministers having to do certain things, and instances where we're saying the minister must do certain things but in consultation with other ministers.
so that we are clear that there are those instances where ultimately we expect the minister to do it, but having consult, like norms and standards. We're saying it's the minister who must adopt the norms and standards, but having consulted the others. But in the case of implementing certain things, we're saying each one of them have a duty in their own right, within their line function, to do certain things. And that's the fundamental distinction. But the issue is we have to make sure that that distinction is made deliberately everywhere where we are imposing an executive responsibility.
While we are at that stage,
yes,
I've got a bit of a problem with B.
All right.
And please pardon me because I'm seeing the bill for the first time. So if it's been dealt with, just tell me to. It's been sorted, then I'm happy. I have a problem with 2B, no, 2B. Develop, yeah, 9.
Nine.
Purposes of providing nine, prevention
two,
programs.
Yeah.
I'm still on chapter, yeah, okay. Developing appropriate parenting skills and the capacity of parents and caregivers to safeguard the well-being of their children.
Yeah. I'm already seeing the deputy president facing the caucus asking us where does social development get the right to do that.
What does that mean? I'm switching. I'm a parent now. What are we saying here?
So we've got programs for equipping parents with regard to the care of children. These are established programs that we have that we use, especially for families that are at risk, so that you don't just address the child, but to take the family in the whole context. So we do have existing programs that are there that enhance the skills of parents to actually enable them to...
Yeah, I think
I'm not sure
what Honorable Bokgopane Zulu is raising is something that has a political history, which links it back to the children's bill. We've had very nerve-wracking, painful process associated with the children's bill, where the whole issue of substituting certain methods, for example, of instilling discipline with so-called appropriate methods, triggered a lot of political reaction, which culminated in us, for example, dropping a clause on corporal punishment in that bill. And one of the concerns raised in that context was, realistically speaking, how many of the, God knows how many families of South Africa are you likely, even with increased capacity, to reach in your ideal endeavor to substitute whatever you consider inappropriate parenting methods with whatever appropriate parenting methods you consider would be the correct ones that should apply in families. But even there was a whole issue around how far is the state prepared to go to tell families and communities how to raise their children. And the whole controversy around what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. So it is a loaded concept because people have different cultural, religious,
yes,
and other beliefs. So what you may consider to be the correct textbook approach to raising a child might not necessarily be shared by another textbook that you are not reading from. Do you have all the textbooks covered in your recipe of how to raise a child?
Well, Chair, let me just correct myself. I hear what Ms. Keller is saying, but that this particular section doesn't say so. So we must be very specific if we are talking about parents of children who are abusing substances. It must be very specific to the families. It must not be a broad, appropriate parenting. It is intended for a particular family as part of a family reunification where we don't want to deal with the child alone. That is understood and that I support. But the way it's written now, like you're rightfully saying, I mean, Christians raise their children differently too. We all raise our children differently, and I know that there's no recipe for raising a child. And I'm very sure social development doesn't have either. So let's find a way of saying exactly that, that we're talking about families or we're talking about parents whose children are going through our programs already. Because we're not saying that right now.
Perhaps we could soften it by substituting the word appropriate with alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we've tried the one method to raise this child and it hasn't worked and the child
is
in this situation, we try something else. We work on something else. Yes, Ms. Dudley.
This clause doesn't criminalize parents, and it also doesn't force any parents unless a court sends them for that particular program. So there's nothing here that's going to offend people. It's purely helpful in the situation. The word appropriate is particularly good because any parent would want to be able to at least rely on the fact that you could say, you said it must be appropriate and it's inappropriate. So the word appropriate here is actually a safeguard. So in my reading of this clause, I feel that it's a very safe
We just qualified of parents whose children are at risk.
Yeah, something like that. But I'm not comfortable with it.
Of substance abuse. Of children at risk.
Developing appropriate parenting skills and the capacity of parents and caregivers. Can I ask you, Chair? I mean, it says, developing appropriate parenting skills and the capacity of parents and caregivers. This whole safeguard the well-being of their children, that's not what we are trying. We are trying to enable them, to equip them with their skills, to be able to manage their children who are already on substances or whatever. Is that not what you're saying, Ms. Kemp? Then the rest of the section should then talk to that. So we then say, developing appropriate parenting skills and the capacity of parents and caregivers to be able, I'm just thinking aloud, to enable them to respond or manage their children who are at risk or to manage or facilitate family reunification.
That's good.
Or to facilitate family reunification. Maybe that would help. Because then it says developing appropriate parenting skills and the capacity of parents and caregivers to facilitate family reunification.
To equip parents. Because obviously it's for the well-being of it.
Yeah, that's why I'm getting rid of the safeguarding on well-being of their children.
Can we remember though, honorable members, that we are at a stage where we have gone through this rigmarole of trying to work out the best possible formulation of various clauses, and that we should act with absolute restraint when it comes to revisiting the conceptual framework, because otherwise, we could be in for another 2 days. And we are at an injury time stage. So let's act with some restraint. Let's correct something, if not to do so, will cause a train crash. The sky will fall.
Yeah.
Right? I don't mind maybe something that qualifies, confines it to children who are at risk of substance abuse, of becoming involved in that. In the abuse of substances or something. If it's something that's quick and simple. Otherwise, we leave it there.
And right? Developing appropriate parenting skills for families at risk. I mean, I'm just saying that it's not only, you wouldn't just look at our substance abuse in isolation. If the family is at risk, you give them the broader...
Is everybody in agreement?
I can live with that.
All right.
Okay. And then we delete to safeguard the well-being of their children and what.
All right. Anything else under this chapter? It is, yes, Mr. Vivian?
Just to be much mindful that we need to change the heading of the chapter in line with the way that we have changed the heading in the index.
Excuse me, that is the adding the early intervention.
Yeah, early intervention services.
Services, right. Okay, that's covered.
Do we need a chair?
Yeah.
Do you need the treat there on two?
Treat on two.
It's because your space established a program and what prevention and early intervention. Is that
services?
No, I'm saying that's what the heading just has just been at. So if that's the case, do we need the treat there? Ten two. Do you need the treat there, or did it come sneak in by default? Because you are on early intervention.
And it says substance use instead of substance abuse. The concept treating, didn't we drop it sometime along the way? We never. Is it prevention and treatment? So?
No, I had the heading is reviewed as establishment of prevention and early intervention. Is that not what you said?
Oh, so you're saying this clause is about prevention and early intervention.
Yes.
Why are we suddenly
treating.
Bringing in the treating at this stage?
I'm just asking, but if it's fine, I'm able to leave it.
Ms. Keller, can you clarify?
Chairperson, for me, it's where you have a problem and you could be doing early intervention services and you find that the problem is already advanced and you can then refer the people appropriately. So you won't isolate it. I'm just saying it's related to early intervention because where the problem is already happening and you are busy with intervention, then you've got to then ensure that...
So there's a context to it. All right. Okay. If you are happy with, you are the expert, we'll give it to you. Right. Nothing else on this chapter, which takes us to lunchtime. After lunch, we don't look back at any of the stuff that we've passed unless there is a consequential, not burning, even if it's burning, unless there's a consequential alteration that needs to occur.
Chair, just on 2B, the substances of abuse, H2B, we still talk about substances of abuse. So maybe we should just delete that of abuse.
All right. Corrected?
H2A, the second line.
Yeah. Can we all of us make it our business?
Sorry, I just want to say something quickly.
Yeah.
If you look at 11, 11.1, I mean, the minister must, in consultation with the National Youth Commission, National House of Traditional Leaders, and we were talking about that at 9. So I'm just saying there is, can we just be consistent in terms of what we want to say? Because on 8, on 9, we just listed the National Youth Commission and not, so, and then on 8.1, so we must just decide.
Yeah.
No, in fact, we said we're not listing. We said we simply said the ministers and organs of state.
Yeah, it
referred
is
to in 8.1. All right, that's it. Drafters, you happy? Chief Director, Legal Services.
Yes, sir.
Right. I think I must start inviting the yeses from both sides, sir. From the Legal Services Department and State Law Advisor.
Yes.
Right. On that note, anything else in this chapter before I release you for lunch? Nothing. Right. Let's go enjoy our lunch at 2 o'clock exactly. Hopefully you will have thoroughly rested in the 45 minutes from now. We will proceed with the next chapter, which is chapter 5.